One, two, three, four. Turn your lights down, way down low. But turn up that radio. It's Steve and Johnny. Johnny and Steve. Every night there's something new. You never know just what that.
Okay, boys and girls, it's time for our weekly salute to the week that was. So let's all run to the window, throw open the sash, and let's join Johnny. Because we have no secrets, I will share a little, as our friend Paul Harvey used to say, partly personal.
Yes.
I'm not trying to go Hollywood tonight, but I have sunglasses on because I've been dealing with a migraine, and I thought it was just about gone, but after the opening screen, I'm kind of feeling it may have returned.
I cut it short, too. I looked at you, and there was a look of pain. That grimace told me, now, stop.
But there was so much to scream about this week.
Yes. And ironically, back to your migraine, you stepped off the elevator, and you went, boom.
Yeah.
There it is. That was after driving through construction traffic to get here.
Yeah. And It seems to be going away, and for those of you that have ever dealt with migraines, boy, they're fun. Mm. And light can trigger them.
Yeah.
And this was one of those nights when I think, I don't know.
Driving down Bryn Mawr. I'm blaming it on that. That's the tightest street.
Yeah, because we have to drive down Bryn Mawr because of construction on the north side.
Right. So on Bryn Mawr, anybody who knows the north side, Bryn Mawr from Clark to Broadway, I find myself just holding my breath as we're driving, thinking that it might help just a little bit, because it's like threading a needle, getting in and out and round.
It's like you're driving through a quarter of a lane.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, I have to say that it's impressive that people don't park on the sidewalk like they do in some neighborhoods where the streets are small, and they just, she said, having looked at my sidewalk, saying, no, you're not going to do that because I'm going to mow my lawn and I'm going to hit your car if you don't get your car off the damn sidewalk. That was me being the neighbor, the friendly neighbor.
Can you see what kind of a show it's going to be? Actually, you can't, because we have so much planned for tonight. We should explain in a little bit. One of our very talented friends, Dave Spector, is going to join us in studio. He has a brand new album coming out and a whole bunch going on. Also, Blues Fest is coming up, and we're going to talk with Lynn Orman, who's the founder of the Women of the Blues, talk about Chicago Blues Fest. We will introduce you to someone that you have never met before, but he's become a friend of ours. He's a really cool guy. He is one of the security guards here in the building. His name is Isaac Allen. And over the past month or so, we've discovered a side of Isaac that is fascinating. He has a 2005 Ford 500. It came as a six-cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Isaac, it is now an eight-cylinder.
So we need to find out how he did that.
Well, we were telling Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide, who's going to be joining us a little later tonight. We were telling Tom about it, and Tom says, I have so many questions about this. So
it's not an easy thing to do.
No.
And I don't know a lot about cars, and he just made it seem like it was a piece of cake. I went to a car auction, and I bought an 8, and I brought it home, and I dropped it into my car. Tom said, it's not that easy, really.
So we're going to talk about that. And we were... We both had this revelation.
Hmm. Oh, golly, yeah.
Earlier today, we were reminded that it was 10 years ago that we were inducted into the WGN Radio Walk of Fame.
Right.
10 years.
I know.
And we were both struck by a couple of things. One, 10 years. What?
Yeah.
And good grief, the stuff that has happened over the past 10 years.
Let me take you back to 10 years ago on this day, though.
Okay.
It was so hot.
Oh, it was.
We were up on a stage with the sun, the morning sun, coming right on us.
Yep.
And I think by the time we stood up to walk off the stage, there were like big melted spots where we've been sitting.
Your dad was not a happy camper.
No,
that day.
There are pictures of my dad in the audience, and he looks like the Grinch. Like, what am I doing here? I'm wearing linen, and now it's all wrinkly because he was a bit of a clothes horse. So,
but 10 years,
yeah.
And after that, we went to DeLuciano's.
Yes,
DeLuciano's is no longer around.
Right, and that was our go-to restaurant for all things celebratory because they had a gluten-free kitchen.
Yeah.
And Rosa...
Actually, they had two kitchens.
Two kitchens,
one was a regular kitchen. The other was a gluten-free kitchen with a separate ventilating system, too.
Mm. We're starting to talk about food too soon. You know that. Because now I'm thinking about chicken parm, and I'm thinking about, oh, she made this best gluten-free tiramisu.
Oh, she did.
And cannolis, and lemon cookies. And I didn't even bring anything but crackers tonight.
Stop it. Don't do that.
That little voice. Oh, did you bring your supper tonight?
No, I'm going to order something later.
Oh,
okay. And you do such a goody your voice, Julian. What were you doing 10 years ago?
I was working at a grocery store. It was really depressing.
I'm sold. It was depressing.
Ron, 10 years ago, what were you doing?
Oh, I was probably watching the Cubs. They were doing very well. And, you know, the next year, they would win the World Series. That's, I think I knew that at the time.
Oh, you did?
I think so, yeah. Hmm. At least I wanted it to happen.
Well, you were in Chicago 10 years ago?
I was,
You were
yes.
back home?
Yes.
Working in Chicago?
Yes, I was. I was working in sales. I'd rather forget it.
Really?
So far we have two votes for let's forget what I was doing 10 years. Okay, well, Bob, 10 years ago, what were you doing?
I was running iHeart.
You're running iHeart.
He's another Eeyore. We got to cast
Do you want to forget that too?
Sure. They had no use for me, so that's why I'm here.
Wow. We're a jolly group, aren't we?
Yeah.
And you were being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yes, so yes.
Congratulations.
We posted pictures from that day on the Stephen Johnny Show page on Facebook. And a lot of folks said, well, whatever happened to the plaques? Because, of course, when the Tribune Tower was sold, WGN snatched those call letters off the side of the building, and they're in our hall here. Thank goodness, because they're really gorgeous. When you step off the elevator, you see them. That's probably what gave you a migraine, those bright lights on the GN call letters.
And the plaques were taken up, and all of us were given the plaques.
Right.
They are now, we have them.
If you wanted them, I guess some people said, nah, don't bother. You know. I like them.
And even though the walk of fame as such, the physical walk of fame, is no longer there, we really appreciated what that stood for.
Oh, yeah.
And it was an honor that we will never take lightly.
And it was a really neat idea, too. And the fact that they had the bronze plaques in the cement outside the Showcase studio, that was fun because, you know, there was a restaurant there on the ground floor. And
Howells and Hood.
Howells and Hood. And I was the one that walked up to the maitre d' and said, if I paid you, would you keep the cigarette butts off my plaque? And he looked at me like, oh, that's you? Okay, you got it. Because people are standing outside the restaurant. I'm like, no, 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 you do not put your cigarette butt out on my plaque. You go over there to the Steve plaque, not mine. But they make great stepping stones in our garden. I know you're not crazy about that. I happen to like them.
I just want to move them to a different place. Cause, yes. But it's nice to have them.
It is. Oh, it's really nice to have them. And they're very, very heavy. So
yeah.
Maybe we should stop talking about this because I'm sure somebody could take them to recycling and get a pretty penny for them, right?
Along with your street light or your guardrail, you know.
And the copper that's in our air conditioner. While they're there, you know, go ahead. Knock it all out.
Well, we're starting the show on such an up note.
Well, I just said penny. Why am I so depressed about the penny going away? I'm like,
oh,
no.
Oh, you are? Really?
I am. I have fruit jars full of pennies all over the house.
I think everybody does. That's why they're going away. They're not being used. They're not being spent.
Well, before Johnny and I were married, I was living in Bolingbrook.
Yeah.
Now, where is it? Where? How does this tie in with pennies?
You bought me for a couple of pennies. I was that
because
cheap.
Johnny was nice enough to come out. I was moving from Bolingbrook to Chicago. Johnny was nice enough to help me pack things. Mm-hmm. So we spent the whole day packing the house. And then we wanted to go out for dinner. And neither of us were significantly flush at that point. I had this. It's an old. It's a globe.
We still have it.
Bank.
It's a bank.
That I had loaded with pennies. We opened it up.
And there were some quarters and half dollars in there, too.
And we had enough pennies to go and have a really nice dinner at, was it Perkins?
Perkins Cake and Steak, yes.
Yes, out in Bolingbrook.
We even had cake for dessert because we had enough change. And we stacked it up and counted it out. It was, we've come a long way, baby.
Did you pay the bill with the coins?
We did, yes.
That's a great story.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. Wow. We did. We had the bank with us, and we counted it out at home. And we didn't have the machines like you have now in grocery stores where you can put your coins in there and the counts out and gives you paper money. Well, I'm a little sad about the fact that 99 cents will suddenly be a dollar or a dollar five. I just, you know, I'm easy. What can I say? That's why I married. That's why I married a man who only had enough.
Where is this show going tonight?
He only had money for dinner and a piggy bank shaped like a globe. We better take a break. We'll come right back here on WGN.
Darling, 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 if you should say. Sell my heart for a penny, 'cause it's worthless to me without you.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That was a legitimate hit for Pat Boone back in about 1959. For a penny.
So there will come a time when someone comes across that song and they'll go, uh-huh, what? What's that?
Well, kind of like when people come across some songs like Operator.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a whole generation that would have no clue what Jim Croce was talking about.
So how about this? A Penny for Your Thoughts.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Bad Penny. I dated a guy. My folks said, he's a bad penny. I thought, you don't know the half of it. Bad penny is mild. A pretty penny, that cost a pretty penny, which actually is kind of the opposite of a penny because it means it's expensive, right?
Yeah.
If it costs a pretty penny.
Yeah.
Pennies from Heaven. Wasn't that a movie with Steve Martin?
Yes. Steve Martin.
Yeah.
And it was a huge hit for Frank Sinatra and many people.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. But that was not in the movie, Pennies from Heaven.
No.
Okay.
No.
See a penny, pick it up, or find a penny, pick it up all day, you'll have good luck. Remember that?
Yeah.
Just be sure that you're not stepping on the crack while you're bending down to pick up the penny because you could break your mother's back. Right? So be very careful when you do that.
Johnny knows nothing about superstitions. Can you tell?
Yes.
And it had to be heads, right?
Oh, that's right. Mm. Because pennies are significant because pennies are an indication of an angel has been in the house or somewhere.
Well,
around.
I have a lot of angels by my house now.
I have fruit jars full of angels.
And what was the deal that the with New Year's, you put a penny
on your windowsill.
Yeah.
So you were buying off the evil spirits. So as they were trying to get in your house,
they were easy.
They were going to take the penny and run.
Pinching pennies. Have you done that one yet?
Oh, yes. Pinching That's a good pennies. One. Yeah. Pitching or pinching?
Pinching, yes.
Yes.
Saving money.
Because remember, pitching mm-hmm. pennies, that became, at least at our school, that became a big deal. Oh, if you get caught pitching pennies, you were going to go into the principal's office.
I used to do that.
Did you? Yeah.
I did, yeah.
Going to the principal's office?
And I went to the principal's office, yes. But it was worth it because I was pretty good at it.
Yeah. That was fun because we had the line in the sidewalk and you'd have to, it took a certain amount of skill. Mm-hmm. Penny ante.
Yeah.
A-N-T-E, right? So when you're playing poker. Penny poker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Now we have to play nickel poker. It's no fun.
Penny ante was cheap, too, wasn't it?
Yes, that was
penny
cheap.
Ante.
Worth
so
it.
Now we put a tariff on poker?
Yeah, that's right. It's gone up to 5 cents instead of...
I think they're illegal.
Yes. At least now they are. Wait a week. Let's see. Penny pinching, penny for spend a penny, pennies from heaven, a pretty penny, bad penny. There are not a lot of songs about pennies, though. I try to find some.
What was the other movie? I think it was a Western, kind of a bad penny thing. What am I thinking of?
We had a producer that was a bad penny. We should tell her. You're a bad penny.
Penny Keeshan.
Oh, you're not supposed to say her last name after I said that.
A previous producer, right?
Yes, a previous producer.
But we loved Penny.
Yes.
She was, I'm trying to think of what her maiden name was because she wound up marrying the guy
who owned the Keeshan buses. Yeah. That's why she's not here now.
Yeah.
Well. It's kind
of
a
good
gig.
In fact, we took one of our first promotional things was we took a bunch of listeners on a bus to a concert.
That's right.
At the Star Plaza.
We did, yes. On one of the Keeshan buses. That was fun.
And was it one of the British Invasion concerts?
Yes. I'm thinking Chad and Jeremy. Mm-hmm. Well, how come those are the only people that come to mind? It was a big show, too.
Now, wouldn't it be great if Penny had married someone named Nichols?
Yes.
That would have been perfect.
In fact, my best friend in school, his last name was Nicole, no S on the end of it. And through his whole life, I just saw him at our reunion. He said, I'm still Nichols. People don't get it. I'm just a nickel. Not. He's going to become more popular now. And there's a repair you can do. I remember my dad saying, give me a penny.
Oh, in the fuse box.
In the fuse box, yeah. And a nickel won't be able to do that, folks, so... If you were not...
And what's the thing we just saw within the past week? Something about putting a penny in your door handle on the outside of the car?
Oh, no. They say if you find a penny in your door handle, there's this thought that means somebody was trying to carjack you. And that's just one more thing to worry about. So put that out of your head. Okay.
So will there be nickel loafers?
Yeah, right. What will I do? A nickel won't fit in my loafers.
Yeah, forget that. Yes. Get a size bigger.
We're going to take a break. Stay with us here on WGN.
The scene your prom was over when it was time to go home. Though we had come with another couple, we left the prom all alone. Oh, you were so sweet. Was as proud as could be. All of the fellas kept looking at you. Oh, how they envied me.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Tommy Sands from sometime late 50s after the senior prom. Boy, is that from another time.
I never heard that song.
It's actually a bit pretty well done. But the lyrics, if
I know, that's what I'm laughing at, the lyrics.
I think it says something. We parked beneath the moonlight at your address while I stole a kiss or two. The light from your porch told us that your folks had their eye on me and you. I mean, it's just...
Again, a simpler time.
Yeah.
We were talking about the fact that there was prom activity downtown.
Yeah,
in this building, there's apparently something going on upstairs because a lot of well-dressed young people were making their way upstairs and parking down in the garage. And I said to you, have you heard about the latest trend at proms?
And I hadn't, but when you told me what it was, I understood why it was. So
you went to your prom. Julian, did you go
actually,
to
Actually, I didn't go to my prom. I went to...
after the prom?
No. I missed my prom, but when I was working in a band, I took a night off to come back from... We had a week gig in South Bend. I took the train back to South Bend to take Betty Banneke to her prom.
Mm-hmm.
At from St. Michael's back, it would have been the class of 61 or 62, something like that.
Julian, did you go to your prom?
I think so.
Obviously a memorable experience.
Exactly
ages
what I thought.
Ago. Gosh, that was 2012.
Oh, wow.
I know. Baby numbers.
But I probably told this, but I will retell it.
Yes.
One prom story that to me, I love. After the prom, we came down to Mr. Kelly's. Shelley Berman, comedian, was performing at Mr. Kelly's. Great set. But at the end of his set, before he left the stage, he paused and he got real serious. And he said, as I look out, I see that we have a lot of prom people here with us. And he said, if I could address all of you, he said, remember how proud you felt when you got ready, you looked at yourself in the mirror. Whatever happens for the rest of the night, make sure you still feel that proud when you get home. And he got a standing ovation.
Oh, that's nice. I was afraid he'd get a big, oh, wow.
No, it was really nice.
Yeah. I wonder if that would go over today. I understand that the average cost of proms today, believe it or not, is $2,000 to $3,000.
That's crazy.
Because one of the trends for years now has been to hire a limo, which is very expensive. And sometimes couples will go together and you get a big stretch.
Yeah.
So now you can all share the cost of that. But the dresses, guys still have the best end of the deal because they get to rent their tuxedos.
Rent a tux and you're good.
And from what I understand and what I read, the really expensive proms are typically in small town USA.
Yeah.
You know, more expensive than...
Particularly down south.
In the south, yeah. It's like a coming out where, you know, everybody gets to see you just dressed to kill. But that's not the trend. This is the most bizarre. Julian, have you heard anything about the trends for proms this year?
In the last 5 years, you've got me beat.
Okay.
Now, I'll be curious. Because when Johnny told me what this was, I hadn't heard of it. She told me, and I got it immediately. So I'll be curious to see what your reaction is.
Okay, I'm going to make it a multiple choice. Okay, since you know the answer, I turn to Julian, producer Julian, okay?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Which of these things is, in fact, the trend at proms today? Riding a horseback to the prom, taking your dog to the prom, or taking a goat to the prom? Which of those things would be a trend? And by trend, I mean, and apparently it's
happening all over the country.
It started in the South, and now it's happening where there are companies that are now popping up come springtime so that they can address this trend. What do you think, Julian?
I'm going to vote bleh.
You're right.
No way.
Yes, taking a goat to prom.
And does your mind go to why? Because my mind immediately went to why.
Oh boy, that's a
Well, immediately Steve said, oh, greatest of all time.
Yeah.
That's the statement they're making. That's
my second guess would have been they're bringing their kids.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sadly, that's...
The hottest prom accessory is a live goat. A live goat. I saw pictures on TikTok today. I said, this can't be true.
Tell me you're not seeing pictures of the goat in a tux.
Yes.
No.
If the goat does not match,
no.
If the goat doesn't match the dress or the color theme, they come up with ways to decorate the goat.
I told you when you first told me, there could be a whole lot worse trends.
Yeah, unless you're a goat. What goat was?
I think it's kind of fun.
No. Goats are farm animals.
Yeah.
They dress them up.
I feel bad for the goat, but yeah. Out of all the possible trends, I'm good with this. And I get it. It's
if we have a limo driver out there that's ever picked up a party for prom with a goat,
yeah.
Let us know. I want to know about that. Honest to goodness, when you see the video, these kids are wearing these fabulous matching outfits. Like, her gown is, it has to be $1,000+ for the gown. Mm-hmm. And he's wearing a tuxedo that was not something that you get at Rent-A-Tux. I mean, it was just so perfect. And the one couple that I was just gobsmacked when I saw this video. She's in black with little pops of red, and he's in black with pops of red, and they got a black goat, and it's wearing a big red bow around its neck. And I'm like, okay, that's just really weird.
I'm not sure I'd be crazy about the smell, but other than that, I think it's a hoot.
And they're not wearing diapers. They're not wearing diapers. And you're taking
The couple isn't wearing diapers? I think it'd be kind of awkward over the tux or the formal.
Have you put on weight? No, I'm just wearing my diaper. Golly. Again, I'm feeling the way I felt when I came across the story today. I was like, no. It started in Atlanta. And companies popped up.
That does not surprise me either.
Companies popped up making their goats available. It's prom time. We have your goat. Come on by. Pick out the cutest kid. And some of the
I wonder if somebody has grabbed the website goatprom.com.
That's good. Greatest of all time prom.
Yeah.
So it works on two levels. Yeah. Wow. Okay, you say it's okay, it could be worse.
I think it's a hoot or a bah.
Julian, up or down? Thumbs up or down? I think that was an up. I think he said thumbs up. He loves the idea. Again, if we have anyone out there that has attended a prom or chaperoned a prom or drove a limo and the couple walked out walking a goat. The weird thing was, one of the videos that I saw, the guy was walking the goat like he thought it was a dog. They don't move like dogs do.
But do you have to do the first dance with a goat?
Where do you park your goat while you're dancing?
That's a question I never thought I'd hear.
I got a good answer to that.
What?
Okay.
In the back.
We'll take a break. And I'm coming in that room, so you better run. We'll be back after this.
Well, you know you make me want to shout. Throw my hands up, shout. Kick my heels back, shout. Throw my head back, shout. Come on now, don't forget to say you will. Shout.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
That's a good one. A good shout song.
Yeah.
Julian.
Although, Julian, you didn't get bonus points because I told you if it could be a version of Shout done by goats, that would have scored bonus points.
I tried. I didn't have a lot of time.
Who was that?
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Well, okay.
That works.
They're goats in rock and roll.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, I'm tied all together. Yes, it's time for our shout-out. I wanted to sneak it in early tonight because we have 17 states that have checked in tonight.
Cool.
A whole bunch of people are looking at our pictures from the Walk of Fame from 10 years ago. And a lot of folks are enjoying our ride into work tonight. Our pictures are posted from our trip into the radio station on the last Saturday of May, believe it or not.
Yeah, a couple little different pictures because we had to take a little different route.
Mm-hmm. So we want to say thank you all for tuning in. Like Jan Reinhardt is in the laboratory, as she is every Saturday night. Susan Powell is in Memphis. Larry Mann is in Miami, Florida. Nancy Hollins is in Northbrook. Roy Phillips is in Northwest Illinois. Louise Palish is in Union Ridge. She says,
where is Union Ridge?
I don't know. She can't wait to listen with Mike in Union Ridge, Northwest Side, Chicago. Well, Roger Camp is in Somerville, South Carolina. Kathy Abnor is in Peoria. Carrie Johnson's listening in Palm Coast, Florida. Gail Maslin is in Tinley Park. Rosemary Gleason, listening from the Annie Oakley Ranch in Grove, Oklahoma.
Cool.
The Annie Oakley Ranch. Nancy Nosek is in South Holland.
I want to know more about that.
Yeah. Is that like a vacation site, or is it a home for...
And are there pictures of the original
Annie Oakley?
The real Annie Oakley?
Hmm. Richard Wade is in Franklin Park. He mentions last week's Indy 500, and it reminds me of a text that came in from a listener who said that the NASCAR trophies given away in Nashville tonight are shaped like Les Paul guitars.
I love that.
I got to get
that
a picture.
That is so cool.
Yeah, if somebody has a picture of one of those, send it to us. Debbie Tusick. Hey, Debbie. She is kind of new to the show, and we appreciate her tuning in. And Jeffrey Welshens is in Elkins, West Virginia. Joan Smith is listening in Holland, Michigan. Ellen Maria is in Marengo. Ellen Maria from Marengo. I don't know. I want to snap my fingers when I say that. Ryan Corcoran's in Waukesha, speaking of Les Paul. Chuck Snitchler, best friend to this here radio show and radio station, is listening in Hobart. Brian Lefevre is one of our good listeners. He is in Bridgeport. Peter Jekobowitz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, listening on his CC Radio 2E. Judy B. has her iPhone and her hidden earbud so she can multitask and listen to us. And not share us with the rest of the world. Stephen Verheeren is tuned in. Eric Baum in Wells Beach, Maine. Once again, sending us a lovely picture. He says, not many tourists for the Memorial Day weekend, as Canadians have stayed away so far this year. Hope they return soon, as the local economy depends on them greatly. So,
what a gorgeous picture.
Yeah. That is a picture of Goose Rocks Beach in Kennebunkport, Maine, earlier this week. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha. Gene Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Beverly Goodall is in Highwood, Illinois. John Couture is listening in Warren, Michigan. Sharon Malone is in Kenosha. Bonnie Pearson is in Grays Lake. Terry Knight in Batavia. Scott Cooper is in Naperville. Our buddy Bobby Danos is out in Sandwich at the Manor. Hey, Bobby. Sherry Hanrahan, hopefully she got home and she was kind of rushing home so she had put new batteries in her radio to listen to us in Romeoville. Dave is in Indy, and he made a point to tell us that he's going to be at the July 10th Will's concert, a benefit for Will.
Oh, good.
Yeah, with the Empty Pockets and a whole lot more.
Speaking of the Empty Pockets, hope you saw the Empty Pockets. It was Thursday or was it yesterday? When they did the
Friday,
national
did,
anthem and the seventh inning stretch. Yeah,
they were
Friday.
Good. They were so good.
Honestly, not just because they're the Empty Pockets and our friends, but they did one of the best
seventh inning stretches.
And Erica was doing harmony with
the
them.
The high part harmony.
Really, really good.
And it was funny because everybody that heard them said, that indeed was one of the best seventh inning stretches.
Yeah.
And they took their time and they enjoyed it. And it was really fun to see them.
And I should mention that Julian did some wonderful videos.
He did, yes.
And we've got them archived. And within the next, roughly 48 hours, they will be posted. And we will share the links. Wonderful videos, including an extraordinary video for the song Wolfpack.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it was one of those moments.
If you weren't here last week to hear them on the radio, you missed a great show, but the videos, you'll enjoy them because you could see the faces with the voices.
And they'll be on our blog. And if you haven't checked out our blog, you should. It is steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. But we'll post links all over the place when the videos are up.
And a shout out to Mark in the 630 area code, and Sherry is in Morris, and Bill is in Hobart, and Robin is in Dyer, Indiana. George Clemens is listening to us in Augusta, Georgia. Stacy Drager is in Algonquin. Bonnie and George are tuned in Elgin. Jim G is in
Wisconsin. Bonnie and George.
Yeah, Jim G is in Wisconsin. David Shine Sengrad is in Mount Prospect. Nancy Hollins is listening. Hal Ross. Oh, our buddy Hal Ross tuned in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed the pictures from Lakeshore Drive. Carol Howe, Greg Borgman, Bonnie Pearson, Mike Kay tuned in the car in Gahanna, Ohio. G-A-H-A-N-N-A, Gahanna? Gahanna, Ohio.
Well, I don't know anything about it. Gonna have to investigate.
Yes. If I missed you, I'm sorry. I'll catch you next week. Well, actually, I'll catch you in 2 weeks.
Yes, because we should mention that next week it will be a full show, but it will be a best of full show next week, assuming there are any best ofs lurking in our files. We are going to be out in California next week, hanging out with Joseph and his posse. And then we will be back live 2 weeks from tonight. So that will be on the 14th.
Already. Yes. Okay, back to the subject of goats. I want to sneak in because it will feel really weird at 1 o'clock in the morning if I say, remember when we talked about goats at prom? This listener in 847 area code makes a good point. People kick off their shoes, especially heels. Are people walking through what the goats have behind in their nylons and stockings and socks? Hadn't thought of that. It's a good point.
So the goats are wearing nylons
and stockings and socks. Yeah, they're well-dressed goats. On the subject of pennies, Steve and Johnny remember red nickels and five pennies.
One of my favorite movies that starred Danny Kaye playing the part of Red Nichols. And there's a wonderful duet. And Danny Kaye, because he was a terrific singer, he did all the vocals himself. There's a great duet with Danny Kaye and Louis Armstrong. It's one of my favorite movies. And if you love really good Dixieland music, it's a great movie.
Really?
Yeah.
And that was Five Pennies.
Right. But but that was the name of, because his... the person he was playing, Red Nichols, was a real guy, and it was Red Nichols and the Five Pennies. And they're the ones who really, Dixieland had been around, but they did a lot to bring Dixieland music into the mainstream and to acclimate it with a lot of jazz, too. It was really good stuff.
Well, speaking of movies with the word penny, you were thinking of a Western. It was Will Penny.
Yes.
With Charlton Heston.
Yes.
Yes. How about this one? We missed, as we were talking about penny sayings, give them your 2 cents. Your two cents worth, your opinion.
Sure.
Yeah. Pennies from Heaven was Bing Crosby. A couple of people said, I always stop to pick up change, and I do too. I'll hurt myself to pick up that penny.
Oh, I just thought of another one. Julian, can you do a quick look? Shelby Flint, Penny in My Pocket, was a... Shelby Flint was a kind of mostly one-hit-ish wonder, would have been back in the late 50s, early 60s. Do you remember it at all?
I do not.
She had the prettiest voice.
I do not remember.
It was just a really interesting, kind of a folk song-ish thing.
I can't believe the people that say, I stop to pick up change.
Oh, yeah.
I do, too.
Yep.
And sometimes people... Oh, we used to go to a convenience store right over here. As we were heading home, I'd run in to grab milk or juice or whatever. And the guy said the number of people that would be given change and they turn around and drop it in the garbage can. And he would say, Don't put it in this cup. He would give them change and they didn't want it, so they would throw it away.
Julian, you have a look on your face like you found it. Let's hear what you found.
Got a penny in my pocket, and I found a four-leaf clover, and I put it in my locket, wished on all the stars above me, and I caught the nearest rainbow. Gonna find someone to love me, gonna find someone.
Yeah, my mistake. The correct title of the song was Angel on My Shoulder, which was a kind of a hit for Shelby Flint. Nice
penny
song.
In my pocket, angel on my shoulder. Listener says, what's going to happen to the Vegas penny slot machines?
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
Good question.
Must be a fool, wasting my time by going to school. The way you got me, loving you so, I can't do my homework anymore. I can't do my homework anymore. Whoa, babe, you got me so blind. You know I'm walking around in circles, about to lose my mind. The way you got me, loving you so, I can't do my homework anymore. I can't do my homework anymore. Hey!
Steve King and Johnny Puckman at WGN Radio. I want to let all this play, but if I do, we won't get the chance to say hello to one of the coolest guys that we know. We see him many, many times up at our favorite place, Space in Evanston, and he has a brand new album coming out.
Yep.
And you're going to find out a whole lot more about that. His name is Dave Spector. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Steve and Johnny, so great to be here.
Last time we talked to you, we were talking about photography, and now we get to talk about your music, which is very cool.
Yeah, I remember you invited me. You said when that new CD comes out,
yes,
we want to help you have a release party for it.
Right, yeah. Right. So homework, is that you singing on homework?
That is.
Now, you don't usually do that, right?
Well.
But you did on a lot of songs on this album.
Yeah, I mean, I think 2019, when Blues from the Inside Out came, mm-hmm. was released, that was the first record I sang on. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've been singing live. But this record, the Live at Space record, features more singing than I've ever done mm-hmm. as a recording artist.
Do you approach songs differently when you're writing them, thinking that you're going to, or you
yes.
just let them kind of flow and you say, well, you know what, I could sing on this one?
Or, yeah, interesting question because, excuse me, I'm actually working on a song right now with John Hahn, who writes and produces, writes for Shamika Copeland,
mm-hmm.
and we're working on a song, and I said to him, I don't know if I could sing that in first person. Maybe I'll try it in third person. So it definitely changes the perspective when I'm the one singing it.
Yeah.
Does it change your perspective on what you're going to play?
For sure, yeah.
How does it do that?
Well, I mean, I come from the Chicago blues tradition. I've been on the Chicago blues scene for 40 years.
Yeah.
And some of my favorite music is by people like Muddy Waters and Magic Sam and Junior Wells.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I think about approaching one of their tunes, then I hear their voice.
Mm.
And I'm like, there's no way I could do this justice. So I try to put my own spin on it and just use my own style and attitude. And I'm able to cover tunes by Muddy and Otis Rush, Homework, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. which we just heard.
Did you approach this album a little differently? Because it's one thing to do a live performance. It's another thing to think, I'm recording this live performance for a potential release. That's a whole different mindset. What did that do to you?
Well, I feel most comfortable playing live. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's my bread and butter. That's my wheelhouse. So doing a live album feels much more natural to me than doing a studio album. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to do another live album, mm-hmm. just capture the band. We'd just gotten back from a tour of Spain. We were tight. We were at Space, you know, our home turf.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I felt a little bit of pressure, but, you know, I used to be a basketball player. And in a big game, if there was pressure, sometimes you'd step up your game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I kind of felt about this. You got to step it up, Dave. And make sure everybody is inspired and tight, and I think it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the blatant plug light has started flashing. So for people,
no,
who
that's
don't
fireworks, know, Steve.
Well, yeah, there are fireworks going on yes. outside the window right now, which is very cool. If you're new to Chicago, Saturday nights, Navy Pier, downtown Chicago,
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, roughly a 10 to 15 minute fireworks display mm-hmm. that they just got the award for. It's the best in the country
fireworks in the country, and that's a lot of competition too. So. And it was very impressive tonight, yeah. and it's still going on. So if you hear that booming, it's not our bellies, our empty bellies. That's actually the fireworks.
But along with the fireworks, the blatant plug light has started mm-hmm. flashing. So the new album is called what? And you're doing a release party at Evanston Space when? So
yeah, the new record on CD and LP and streaming on all streaming services. Dave Spector live at Space. Space is in Evanston. And our release party for the album is Tuesday, June 24th. At 8 o'clock.
And Evanston Space is located?
Evanston Space is located at their new entrance, 1243 North Chicago Avenue. And it's basically the corner of Chicago Avenue and Dempster. We just expanded.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen our new lobby and our new entrance.
Yeah, we saw you. There were a whole lot of pictures. You guys have done a ton of work over the past, 6 months or so, right?
Yeah, it's actually been a little longer. But we... We have a beautiful new lobby bar where you can have a drink before or after the show, a beautiful new entranceway, and a big outdoor space.
Oh, good.
Which we actually had a patio party there this afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and we're doing private events there. Union Pizzeria, our partner, mm-hmm. great restaurant, in the same building, they now have outdoor seating.
We're going to talk more about the album, but a little bit of background about Space. How did Space evolve? And where I'm going with that is, one of the things that made Space our favorite place to go, it's a wonderful listening room. The audience that goes to concerts at Space, they're not the ones that are going to be standing up and dancing in front of you, and although depending on who it is, they may get up and dance, but they're there to listen to give respect to
the
performers.
The big finale over your head, Steve. We're all looking over your head at the, wow.
Yeah, Dave was just...
This is my first interview with live fireworks.
Yeah.
It was just for you. Yay! It worked.
Yeah, we spared no expense, Dave.
I'm forever grateful.
But how did Space evolve? Because it really, there are a lot of places you go to see people, a lot of wonderful clubs around Chicago. Space is a listening room. The people who are there to give respect to and pay attention to the performers. How did that evolve?
Good question. Our logo used to be Listen Closer.
Mm-hmm.
We pride ourselves on being an intimate music venue where the music, the musicians, the show is what you're there for.
Mm-hmm.
No TVs. You know, we discourage people from talking too much during the show,
yeah.
unless
mm-hmm.
it's a loud, rowdy show, or unless we have, you know, a standing room only rock and roll show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a lot of younger bands where it's younger artists, younger audiences, much more lively, and then we have, you know, the older, more sophisticated blues and jazz crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of the way the room is designed, it's meant to draw you in to mm-hmm. listen, to watch, just to experience the music in a listening room atmosphere. For me, as a musician who's toured a lot, it reminds me of playing in Europe,
mm-hmm.
where people just have a greater level of respect for the music and the musicians and the show, and they're there to see a show.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we like people to party and have a good time and drink, but we're just really proud of the fact that the people just really come there to focus on the music. And,
yeah.
and one of the things that makes me most proud, in addition to the fact that our audience loves the room, is how much musicians love playing there.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times we've been interviewing somebody that had a show coming up, and they're like, I'm so looking forward to it because
yeah.
I just feel loved when I'm on that stage. And as an audience member, I love the acoustics. That's mm-hmm. important to me because I can hear what the performer is doing and saying. And I think that's what performers feel, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about, we're talking with Joel Patterson and Tommy Castro
and
Marsha Ball. And yeah, they all just rave about.
And Paul Thorne, one of my favorite
yes.
moments was Paul Thorne at Space and everybody's, you know, sitting and paying attention. And then for about the last 15 minutes, Paul turns it into a revival, and everybody is on their feet, and it was just a wonderful.
And we got religion in the last 15 minutes, yes.
Amen.
Yes. We're talking with Dave Spector. He has a brand new album. He has a CD release party. And will you have vinyl available at your CD release party?
Yeah, the vinyl is actually going to be available next week.
Now, have you done your previous CDs on vinyl as well?
Yeah, the last album was actually a double album, a double LP.
Wow.
It was kind of a career retrospective. It was called Six String Soul, 30 Years on Del Mar.
Yeah. Del Mar Records,
so that's on vinyl. Message in Blue is on vinyl from 2014 with Otis Clay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2019, Blues from the Inside Out, which featured Jorma Kaukonen from the Jefferson Airplane and Hot Tuna. That's on vinyl as well.
But in the last 10 years, we have seen vinyl surpass CD sales, which is so cool. And we have a company here in Chicago that's also cutting vinyl.
In fact, we just had the Empty Pockets in the studio with us last week, and they brought in their vinyl, and they were talking about how things have changed. It used to take them months to be able to get a vinyl in their hands. Now, the company on the south side, I guess they've added more capacity.
Because there's more demand. Yeah,
there's a plant on the northwest side called Smashed Plastic.
That's it.
Where
I did the Six String Soul, and I have to put in a plug for the venerable historic Chicago blues and jazz label that I'm on, Del Mar Records.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know, I've been proud for almost 35 years to call myself a Del Mar recording artist.
Yeah, very cool. We're talking with Dave Spector. We'll take a break. And again, put this on your calendar, June 24th at Evanston Space, 8 o'clock. That's the night for the CD release party. But you're going to hear more from that new CD coming up right here on WGN.
And sunset, since the beginning, it hasn't changed yet. Some people fly high, they begin to lose sight. Sometimes you can't see very clearly when you're in flight. Well, it's high time that you found the same people you misuse on your way up. You might meet up on your way down.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and that is Dave Spector from his new album, Live at Space. It belongs in your collection. We were just talking with Dave off the air. We love the way it was recorded. And blatant plug, you were telling us about who you had recorded?
Yeah. Freddie Breitberg, who's been on the Chicago music scene since, I believe, the late 60s, because he worked at Chess Records right before they were sold. Mm-hmm. He actually worked on a Phil Upchurch record called Darkness, Darkness that I love.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, and when he told me he worked on that, I almost fell off my
chair. That's the resume right there.
Yeah. And then he went on to work for Curtis Mayfield at Kurtom, which is, I don't know if you knew where Kurtom, we both kind of, I grew up near where you live now, and Kurtom was right near Mather High School on Lincoln Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Freddie worked there for 3 years, and he did a ton of records for Bruce Iglauer at Alligator, a lot of the early Alligator records. Mm-hmm. And Freddie had come in to record a Victor Garcia record live at Space, a great local trumpet player. And I heard it, and I was just blown away. So I hired him to come to the club and record us.
Didn't you say Freddie also recorded the Super Bowl Shuffle?
He did.
Yes.
Which is iconic.
It was a minor hit, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you think?
Kind of. And again, a blatant plug. The new album is Dave Spector Live at Space. And again, blatant plug, you should be at Space on
Tuesday night, June 24th, 8 p.m. You can buy tickets in advance at evanstonspace.com.
So did you record the cuts that are on your CD, like various concerts that you did at Space? Because I know sometimes you work with other musicians.
I'm proud to say this album was recorded one set, one night.
Really?
March 19th, 2024.
Wow. Cool. Did you walk out of there and go, yeah, we got it. We're not going to...
I had a pretty good feeling and, I had to step away for a while. And then when I heard it, I was really pleased.
Nice. Well, you said a few minutes ago that it was 1985. I did some quick math. 40 years, you said you've been doing this. Were you like 10 and you decided, well, I'm not going to go to school. I'm going to be a musician. Is that what happened?
I was 11.
11. Okay.
No, I started playing professionally when I was 21.
Really?
I jumped in early, immersed myself in the scene.
Well, let me take you back to when you were 11, 12, 13 years old. What did you think you wanted to do when people would say, so, Dave, what do you want to be when you grow up? Did you say, I want to be
an NBA basketball player.
Really?
Yeah. But then I became a little more realistic and thought I'd probably become...
Oh, be a musician was more realistic?
there was a point in between where I went to college and studied Spanish and political science and thought I might... go into international relations or maybe law. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. But when I went away to college, that's when I started playing guitar. And, I never...
Where did you go to school?
Champaign, U of I.
Of course.
Yeah.
Too bad you didn't go to Carbondale because you would still be there playing, right? Because I think a big twist in the Mellow Fellows, and he used to tell us, he'd say, why did I even leave? They loved me so much in the college scene, right?
When did wanting to play the blues go from something that you thought, well, that could be fun, to something that, yeah, I'm going to do this?
Probably after seeing Coco Taylor, Junior Wells, Magic Slim at the Student Union in Champaign.
Really?
And seeing their bands and seeing what they were doing. And I just was in awe of that. And I said, I got to learn how I want to do that. I got to learn
lineup,
how to do
too.
That. Yeah. And I moved back to Chicago and just immersed myself in the scene. Actually, one of my first jobs when I moved back from college was a shipping clerk at Delmark Records when they were on Lincoln Avenue and Lincoln Square. Then I started working the door at Blues on Halsted, where I could hear live blues, great. I mean, back then in the 80s,
Lincoln Avenue was in Halsted, and that area was just hopping.
Yeah, you'd hear Sun Seals and Lonnie Brooks and Junior Wells and Mighty Joe Young and Sunnyland Slim and Coco and everybody else, 7 nights a week.
Yeah. Do you remember, because I used to see Coco at Biddy Mulligan's. Remember Biddy's up on,
on Sheridan.
Down Sheridan Road.
I drive by it from the city on my way to Space almost every day.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first places in Chicago I saw live blues because they let me in with my fake ID.
Same here.
What was Biddy's, where that great big twist, a live album was recorded?
Yes.
Yeah.
It sure was. Yeah. And musicians liked Biddy's too, as I recall. We were shoulder to shoulder and sweating on each other. I mean, it was totally opposite of Space in Evanston. It was a crazy scene. You'd walk in you pay your money, you walk in the door, you go, whoa, and you'd start turning sideways to make your way in.
They remember their dance floor?
Yes. Gosh. Oh, I have to ask you, though, as a white kid, did you ever get any grief like it? Did anybody say to you, you're a white kid. Why do you think you can play the blues?
Rarely. There's one club owner who's still around who had, like, quotas at his club.
Oh, my. Really?
And that was a drag. And then Bob Kester, may he rest in peace, founded Delmark Records.
Yeah.
He used to comment about race and, I once got interviewed by some guy who was trying to set me up as like a blues appropriator. And I said to him, you know what? I was invited onto the blues scene by people like Jimmy Johnson, who hired me to play with him, and Sun Seals, who hired me to be in his band for 2 years. And if African-American bluesmen like that accept you and invite you and want them to work for you to learn the music,
mm-hmm.
take your appropriation and
yeah, exactly. We're talking with Dave Spector. We're going to take a break. We close the doors. Dave is here. You're going to hear some more from his new CD here on WGN.
Whenever I go and wherever I roam, there's always something that brings me home. In a car, on a lonesome train, something pulls me back again. If I feel love, there's no denying, there's something I call Chicago style. From Junior Wells to Hollow Wolf, from Buddy Guy to Lonnie Brooks, from Magic Sam to Otis Clay, they love to sing and they love to play. From the South Side to the Magnificent Mile, blues and soul, Chicago style. You might wonder.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love this.
Great lyrics.
The album is Dave Spector Live at Space. Dave Spector is live in the studio with us. Dave, I said something to you when this started playing, and I love the whole album, but are there particular songs that, as you were starting it, I just said, the groove on this is wonderful. It's just so locked in, and one of the things I love about it, no click track, no nothing. This is the musicians playing live, and it's a solid groove. I mean, are there times when you can tell just from the get-go, okay, this one is cooking?
Well, thank you. I mean, it helps playing with musicians that you're just incredibly comfortable with, and that, you know, John Katke, who plays keyboards and sings on that, we've been playing together for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. Marty Binder on drums, who played with Albert Collins and Junior Wells, and a great bass player who moved here from Brazil, who plays with Nick Moss, who I know has been mm-hmm. on the show, mm-hmm. Rodrigo Mantovani on bass. They're just, it's, you know, it's almost effortless to play with them. Hmm. And, you know, they know the music. We've been playing it for a long time. And what I tell people, you know, about this music is that the key ingredient is the feeling, the feel, you know, and the groove. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you ain't got that, you know, what Duke Ellington said, you know, if it don't mean a thing, it ain't got that swing.
Yeah.
And, you know, good blues, any kind of music, good rock and roll has to swing.
Yeah, you got to feel it.
And that's...
Was it tough to do basically a shout out to all of those wonderful people in the blues world? Because as I'm listening with my headphones, I go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. You know, all these different names are...
Yeah.
That, so, you didn't want to miss anybody, for example, right?
Right. I wrote the song with my buddy Bill Brichta in Evanston. And I wanted, you know, Sweet Home Chicago was a wonderful, epic tune that's kind of become the theme of Chicago blues. I wanted to write a new song in that vein that mm-hmm. pays tribute to the city, but also pays tribute to some of the most important musicians that are so important in the blues scene, and that also had a direct influence on me. So it's kind of an homage to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of wrote it as a, like a love song to Chicago blues.
Well, it works. It really does. Are there some new guys out there, and I should say, and gals, that you're hearing because you are involved in bringing talent into Evanston space? Are there some younger people out there that you're going, oh, good, this music is going to live on, thank
yes.
goodness?
Yes, thank goodness indeed, because... You know, one of the things that I notice and that we were talking about, my friend Celeste is here, is the older blues crowd. You know, when you go to a blues show in Chicago, unless you're at Kingston Mines, the chances are the average age is going to be over 60. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting young people to hear the music is really challenging. But seeing some great young players take on the traditional blues forms mm-hmm. and sometimes the, you know, the heavier blues rock, which is a more popular form, which is not, you know, my favorite style of blues, but it is much more popular than, say, traditional Chicago blues. There are some really fine young players. There's a player that comes in named Jontavious Willis, who's been nominated for a Grammy, who's still in his 20s. Stephen Hull, mm-hmm. who's from, I believe, Kenosha, still in his 20s, Kingfish, mm-hmm. Chris Stone, Kingfish, Ingram, who's really, you know, got the star quality and his career's on the rise, still in his 20s. We've got a really fine and up-and-coming young blues player who I think might still be in his early 20s, might still be a teenager, Harrell Davenport. He calls himself Young Rel.
Hmm.
He's going to be playing a Blue Monday in Space on July 7th. So, yeah, there's some young talent out there.
Young Rel is the name.
Young Rel, yeah. His real name is Harrell Davenport.
Got to look for him.
Yeah. Yeah, check him out.
No women coming across your radar, huh?
Women on the younger side.
We got to work on that because we got Shamika.
You know, Shamika's still in her 40s.
Yeah.
We were just talking about her, and I'm collaborating with her producer and songwriter, John Hahn, on some songs. So, Shamika, you know, I was telling Celeste that I used to do shows when I was with Sun Seals. I remember a co-bill at the Village Gate in New York, Sun Seals and Johnny Copeland.
Mm.
And I got to meet Johnny, and then I got to open for him at Buddy Guy's back in the early 90s. And Shamika's wonderful. Her dad would be so proud.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you talk about young women in blues, and you make me think of one of my favorite nights here. It was a Sunday night years ago, roughly 20-some-odd years ago.
Yeah.
And there was this new performer. We heard about her. We said, okay, can we get you on the show? She walks down Michigan Avenue on a Sunday night.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Carrying her Fender guitar with stickers all over it and her Magnetone amp. It was Susan Tedeschi. Nobody in the world knew who the heck she was. We had her on, and she was just, oh, man.
Yeah. I remember she started out being a traditional blues artist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little by Little by Junior was on her first album, and you just reminded me of somebody. And I'm not sure of her age, but she looks like she's maybe in her 30s. Melody Angel.
Oh.
Really powerful performer, inspired by Hendrix, mm-hmm. and has kind of an edgier, more rock and sound, but just an amazing vibe and presence.
Does Melody play guitar, too?
Melody plays guitar and sings.
Nice.
We have to check her out.
Yeah. Somebody said, I just read today, there was something that came up on Facebook about Susan Tedeschi. And these women chimed in and said, my heroes wear high heels and guitar straps. You know, because there are not a lot of them. So it's nice to show them some love. You know?
Yes.
But with any young performer, there is a moment where you go from, okay, here are the licks. I am playing these licks. To you start to feel the licks and you start to put yourself into them. How did that happen for you? Because I'm sure that initially you started out and, okay, now here's this B.B. King thing. I can do this.
Yes.
But when did you start to feel? Or do you remember, was there a point in your career when you said, okay,
I'm feeling it.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly when it was. But one thing that helped greatly, and when I teach guitar, I try to instill in my students that you have to have the foundation of being a great rhythm guitar player
mm-hmm.
before you start, you know, thinking about your soloing. And one of the things that really helped me develop was getting hired when I was very young on the scene to play rhythm guitar for great guitar players like Steve Freund and like Sun Seals, and backing them up. And sometimes, you know, with Sun Seals, the first year or so on his tunes, I wouldn't even solo. I would just play rhythm.
Hmm.
And that's the way to really feel the groove and lock in with the rhythm section.
You're also going to school, too, when you're doing that, because you're watching people who know how to do it right.
Oh, yeah. You know, a blues master like Sun.
Yeah.
But I think I started to realize, you know, when I was about 27, 26, I started hearing my own voice more inside me that had to come out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized, you know, I'm not going to be able to do that as a sideman,
mm-hmm.
you know, playing for somebody else. I got to start my own band. And then when I started my own band in 1989, I was 26. That's when I started to, you know, get good as a soloist and try to learn how to be a band leader. And I think, you know, pretty soon after that, I got a certain level of confidence that I could play.
You never felt
and you can.
Yeah. You never felt the pull to go to New York or to West Coast, Chicago? Because yeah. Born and raised in Chicago, and you've just been here for the...
Yeah. No, my brother and sister both moved to the West Coast a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, what better place to be if you want to be on a blues scene?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Austin is appealing. I love New Orleans.
Yeah.
But New Orleans doesn't really have... you know, a hardcore blues scene. It's more of the R&B, soul,
right.
New Orleans groove.
And would New York be more jazz?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there have been some good players that have come out of New York, and there used to be some great blues clubs there. Unfortunately, they're pretty much all gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, COVID did a number on a lot of clubs
yeah.
that no couldn't doubt. Survive. We're talking with Dave Spector. And again, you put it on your calendar. He's got a CD release party on June 24th at 8 o'clock at Evanston Space. And we'll come right back with him and a little bit more music from his new CD here on WGN.
The darkness, don't ever slow down. March through the darkness from every town to town. In these times of trouble, don't stop the fight. March through the darkness till we see the light. Stop the persecution, don't turn back the clock. Been marching for decades, and now what a shock. Stand up to these bullies that are trying to divide. March through the darkness with truth on our side. A loud wake-up call heard round the world. And in our country, let your voice be heard. Peace, love, and tolerance, knowing wrong from right. March through the darkness and into the light.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Boy, is that a song for our times.
Mm-hmm. That should be our anthem. Thank you very
really.
Much.
That is Dave Spector from his wonderful new album, Live at Space, which is available where?
Well, actually, the official release date isn't until June 6th, but I do have advance copies for sale. I would be happy to sign them and send them out to you personally at Dave Spector, Spector, no relation to Phil, .com.
You know, I never thought that until you said that.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's right. All right.
And again, the release party at Space will be?
Yeah, Space June 24th in beautiful Evanston, Illinois, 8 o'clock. You can buy tickets at evanstonspace.com.
We were talking off the air, about a thing you're doing at Hey Nani.
Yeah, I'll be at Hey Nani in Arlington Heights, perhaps the future home of the Bears, who knows, on July 9th. July 9th.
Okay. So who's playing with you on your record release party?
The same band that's on the album, just a four-piece. Myself on guitar and vocals, John Katke on keyboards and vocals, Rodrigo Montavani on bass, and Marty Binder on drums.
I love the groove that Rodrigo is doing on that last track.
Yeah, he's a wonderful bass player.
Oh, man. And that's fun.
And that album, I just got another plug for my label, Delmark Records.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Delmark.com.
All right, let's talk guitar geekness. You're a Fender guy? Is that
mostly?
Right? Mostly Fender?
There are 13 tracks on the CD. The album is also coming out on vinyl. 11 of the 13, I play a Fender Jazzmaster.
Mm-hmm.
And two of the tracks, I play a Gibson ES-335.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
Well, he's a collector, so I drank the Kool-Aid. I'm like, oh, yes, go ahead, buy it. You need it. It's not that you want it, you need it.
Of
go ahead.
Of course he does.
At some point, I need to introduce you to my baby, a 59 ES-355 TD.
Wow.
One of the first years with the PAF pickups. I'm the only owner, and it's never going anyplace.
And he got it then, when it was $550 in 1959?
Wow.
Think about that.
Yep.
Think about that.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can't see this, folks, but my jaw is
dropping. I know, because his dad bought the house for $6,000. I'm like, whoa.
Oh, those were the days.
Yeah. That's crazy. So Fender Jazzmaster, you've got one of those, right?
Yeah, I do.
I think I bought it for you, right?
No, actually, I got that one from Bill Takatsuki at Guitar Works.
Yes. Also in Evanston. Let's give a shout out. Show Evanston some even more love because they're right on Main Street in Evanston.
My favorite guitar store.
Yeah.
It's the only place I'll let anybody give my guitars TLC.
At the outset, you mentioned in passing that you'd come back from performing in Italy. Take a minute and explain the difference in European audiences. You kind of implied that they approach the music with a little bit more respect than we sometimes get here in the States. Is the age younger? I suspect it's a younger crowd, too, that comes out.
It is at festivals. And I think that's true here, too.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the Blues Festival, which is next weekend. You know, you'll see a fair amount of young people. But, you know, here I just think we take it for granted.
I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. And there are very respectful music fans here. I think more, you kind of feel that more on the jazz scene. But I think at a club like Space, if I can brag, where we get a listening crowd, our blues crowd is very respectful and cool, and they're there to listen. So I just think in Europe they have a higher level of appreciation and respect. And they really are students of the music. You know, the blues and the blues aficionados there, you know, they know everything about you when you get there.
And we had that experience outside the Sun Studios in Memphis. And we stood out there with Europeans who were just dropping tidbits of information about things that happened at Sun Studios. And people that lived in Memphis had no clue what they were talking about. I mean, they knew the minutiae about the music, which was really amazing.
Yes. But I will never forget the conversation we had with Duane Eddy. And also it was backed up by Cliff Richard. They both talked about, at the height of their careers, and they're performing over in London, and they were surprised after a song, there would be polite applause. But then at the end of the concert, the crowd went nuts. And then they stood up. And it's just a different mindset over in Europe.
Yes. Yeah.
When you step on stage, are you looking at a set list, or do you read the crowd, or how does that work for you?
For bigger shows, I always do a set list.
So the band knows where you're going.
Yeah.
It helps.
Although there are nights where I'll just call the tunes and you know, on looser gigs.
Because you look at the crowd and you say, you know what, we need to pick up the pace.
Sure.
Or slow it down.
Yeah. I always tell my bands that these set lists are subject to change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's neat.
I want to take you in a different direction for a second. Photography. You do extraordinary photography. And do you still have there was a photography exhibit you had up. Is that still available?
I had an exhibit at Del Mar Records for the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had the closing reception last week. So that exhibit is over. But I do now sell photos on my website at davespector.com. And I also have about 20 prints on display at Space in the bar area and also in our new lobby.
Oh, good idea. Yeah.
And you were nice enough to bring us this extraordinary picture. Tell us about the picture that you brought us.
Buddy Guy.
Well, I'm glad you like it. You know, Buddy is one of my heroes. I've been listening to Buddy for as long as I've been playing, as long as I've been listening to blues. I used to see him at Biddy Mulligan's with Junior Wells.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Buddy, as you know, lights up the stage. I mean, he's got a magical, powerful, ultra cool stage presence. I photographed him a few times, and I went out during his January residency. That photo's from 2 years ago, I believe. And they gave me a seat in the front row, and I kind of wanted to capture a little more of the serious, thoughtful, soulful Buddy. So that was what I was trying to capture in that shot.
Very nice. So do you take cameras with you when you've got your equipment and your cameras whenever you go on gigs?
Yeah, I mean, on a show like that, I think I just bring one camera and a couple lenses. And a lot of my photos are at Space. You know, I'm one of the partners there. I helped found it. So I shoot a lot of shows there. So I always have a camera there. And, you know, I bring little cameras out to be a little more discreet sometimes.
Yeah.
But I've kind of, you know, I used to always just shoot with my phone. And now, you know, I know the difference between a phone and a camera.
Yeah.
So.
Well, in the minute that we have left, we should have asked you this earlier. Is there a secret to how you go about booking the talent that comes into space? Because when you look at it on paper, it's pretty eclectic.
I mean, I love that.
It's all over the map. How does that happen? Does the act contact you, or are you always looking for acts? Or?
Well, we have great talent buyers. We've had a couple, just really two since we've been open, Jake Samuels and Davis Inman, so they deserve most of the credit. But older guys like me and my partner Craig have our tastes, and we give them ideas and advise them. And sometimes I'll reach out and do bookings myself. I book a lot of the local blues and sometimes local jazz and even rock and roll. But we pride ourselves. I think we are the most eclectic music venue in the Chicago area.
Yeah, and, easily.
You know, we have open minds and a wide range of tastes. And we have younger talent buyers who can find younger talent. And older guys like me who know the older stuff.
Yeah. Well, our mantra has always been there's only two kinds of music.
What you like and what you don't.
Yep. That's simple. Love you know, it. Enough of categories. Well, thank you for coming in here tonight. It's been a pleasure to lay eyes on you and talk to you about your new CD because it's wonderful. And June 24th at 8 o'clock, that's CD release night. And you can check out David, his website, Dave Specter, SPECTER.com.
And we'll only let you out of here if you promise you're going to come back.
I would love to. I just want to say you two are a Chicago treasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
The check's in the mail.
Yes. And stay with us because we're going to continue talking blues because Blues Fest is next weekend. And a woman who knows all about what's going to be happening at Blues Fest, she's going to stop in here and give us a little rundown.
You're smiling, shining, beaming like the sunshine, rising, climbing, grinding through the hard times, growing, showing up like you're a star. Cause no matter where you stand today, I hope you know you are, hope you know you are worthy of that smile on your face. Know you're worthy, keep on flowing in your grace. Know you're worthy to take up all that space.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. At his Mavis Staples, who is going to be one of the headliners at the Chicago Blues Fest.
Yes, the Blues Fest gets bigger and better every year, it seems. And we're sneaking up on June, and June means Blues Fest month. And we turn to our buddy Lynn Orman, blues ambassador, activist, and journalist, and the founder of Women of the Blues. How are you tonight, Lynn Orman?
Oh, I am doing so well, and I'm so happy to be here with you and have you back in the Chicago studios.
Thank you.
Oh, my God, really. Dave Specter hit it on the head. You are both treasures, and you have been such empowerment to the whole blues community, really.
To all the blues artists throughout Chicago.
I said
the Blues Fest seems like it gets bigger every year. Now we've expanded. We're not just in Millennium Park, but from Millennium Park we go to Maxwell Street and the Romova Theater. Tell us a little bit. Have you been to the Romova Theater? Because it looks beautiful on paper.
Absolutely. It's in Bridgeport. It's a historic theater. The first year was last year when it opened. And the special guest that night, that was Shamika Copeland and Ronnie Baker Brooks, and your best buddy, Wayne Baker Brooks, came up on stage. Ronnie had just signed a contract with Alligator Records and became a part of that family where his father was for decades. So, yeah, so that was really a special evening. Romova is historic. It's like, you know, any of these old historic renovated theaters still with the gilded things. Although this is a standing venue, there are some seats, and I'm just looking forward to it because one of your best buddies has said to say hello to you, the incredible Grammy Award winner and Blues Hall of Famer Bobby Rush.
Yes.
She loves Steve and Johnny. He will be there headlining.
Bobby, who Tuesday. Just who Bobby just turned what? 90 what?
91.
And he is still cooking like
God
crazy.
God bless him. Yeah.
Cooking. He's on tour. He calls me, he's like, I just called to say hi, and then he hangs up. I'm like, where are you? He's on tour. He's been on tour with Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Wow.
Yeah.
Their Young Fashioned Ways tour going on, and it is something else. The album is incredible. It's out on Deep Rush Records, and, when I look at the video of Bobby, Kenny's playing, but Bobby's dancing. And he's going out into the audience,
Well, if there are women in the audience, Bobby's going to dance. He's going to get their attention, that's for sure.
God, absolutely. You know, there's a song called Sue. You must listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Bobby was in Clarksdale yesterday. They did the premiere for Clarksdale of the movie Sinners. It's really. I put some of the footage and some of the photos up from Scott Beretta, and it was really interesting because Kingfish was there, Bobby Rush was there, Cedric Burnside, and it was filmed. A lot of it was filmed in Clarksdale, obviously. So it was interesting.
Bobby has a tune in the soundtrack of Sinners, as does Buddy Guy, right?
Well, actually, Bobby's playing on it. He doesn't have a track, but he's playing Juke. He's playing the Little Walters song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But this year's Blues Fest is from June 5th through June 8th. And as Johnny was saying, it is going to be bigger than ever. Who are some? I know you're excited about everybody that's going to be there, but who are some of the standouts and some of the standout events this year?
Okay, we're going to be like Benjamin Button. We're going to work backwards because there's so much going on. Actually, it all starts tomorrow. But I'll start with Sunday, June the 8th, which is the headliner, which is Mavis Staples.
Mm-hmm.
And opening for Mavis, and, she really is the divine queen, isn't she?
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
And her voice just gets better.
It does. Oh, my gosh. And her band, I think Rick Holmstrom on guitar. I can't remember all the players' names, but everything that she's done. You know, she did an album, I think it was Have a Little Faith, right in Evanston at Butcher Boy with Jim Tullio years and years ago. And then, of course, with Jeff Tweedy. And, she is our goddess. I just love Mavis Staples. And then Lurie Bell and Frank Catalano. I don't know if you've ever had Frank or Lurie on your show, but what an amazing collaboration between Chicago's jazz royalty, Frank Catalano, and the son of Curie Bell, there, I just thought that was such a brilliant booking that they did. They're going to have them opening for Mavis Staples on Sunday.
And before them is going to be C.J. Chenier and the
Red Hot Louisiana Band, which is awesome.
Telling you, this is just going to be one dance party.
Lynn, before that, at the Pritzker Pavilion, I see Willie Dixon's Blues Heaven Foundation celebrates the 75th anniversary of Chess Records. Charles Berry Jr. is going to be there. Is that his in Chuck Berry Jr.?
Yes, and his son. It's Charles Berry and Charles Berry Jr.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep, it's Chuck Berry's son and his grandson.
And the last time I saw the two of them was when they were participating in the announcement from Gibson Guitars that after all these years, Gibson did a special reissue of the original Chuck Berry guitar.
Hmm.
It's a gorgeous instrument.
But what a great lineup for that particular show at 3:45 on Sunday, because another famous son will be on the stage. Mud Morganfield will be on that bill, right?
Yes, yes. And Mud will be doing two of his dad's songs. It's so funny. I just talked to Mud this morning, and he said, you know, Lynn, I always tried to sing like Johnny Taylor, and I always tried to sing like Tyrone Davis. He said, but everything I sang always came out like Muddy Waters.
It's in the blood, that's for sure.
It is definitely in the blood. And Mud, if for people who are not going to Chicago Blues Fest, there is, well, first of all, let me just say, everything is free. There is nowhere in the world that you can go to and hear so much blues everywhere, everything, everywhere, all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
It's going to be a great weekend.
All over the city.
Yeah. So we started at the last day, which is Sunday, June 8th. We're talking with Lynn Orman. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to, as she said, we're doing a Benjamin Button. We'll take you then backwards to the beginning of the Free Blues Fest right here in the city of Chicago. So more with Lynn coming up on WGN.
Let me talk to you, and let me tell you what I want to do. Play with your poodle, you play with mine. Take you home and have a real good time. I want to hold you, baby, and kiss you too. That ain't all, girl, I want to do to you. I want to.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio.
He's a sneaky devil.
91 years old. He is so cool.
That's your Bobby Rush. We are talking about the 41st Chicago Blues Fest, the largest free blues festival in the freaking world. It's the biggest, and it's right here, and it's right at your fingertips. And we're talking with Lynn Orman. She knows the blues. The girl knows the blues. She's blues ambassador, activist, journalist, founder of the Women of the Blues. Lynn, let's rattle off what's happening on the 7th, Saturday the 7th, as we go backwards from the...
Well, I wanted to just say one other thing. We were asking about women earlier today, want to say on Sunday, Nellie Tiger Travis, who is, she has a song out there called Sexy Man. She is going to be on the Mississippi stage on Sunday along with Miss Jody. I'm telling you, I don't know, maybe you guys, everybody that's listening, if you go, you better wear sunglasses, because these women are a body, but they are amazing, amazing blues women. And, you know, there's four stages this year.
Yeah.
So you've got Roses on the Promenade, which is closest to the Millennium Stage. And then you've got the Mississippi Crossroads Stage, which is the South Promenade. And then on the rooftop of the Harris Theater, they are doing the Next Generation of the Blues.
Wow.
And they're going to have wonderful music for families and blues music. They're going to have Wendy and DB. They put out an album 2 years ago that was nominated for a Grammy with all-star blues cast, Mike Wheeler, Billy Branch, John Primer. Just an incredible feeling, you know, for people that have children, they want to introduce them to the blues, they can head to the rooftop of the Harris Theater.
And I want to hold you on this for a second, because we've talked about Johnny having been a graduate of Senn High School. And as I see on the Harris Theater rooftop terrace, the Next Generation of the Blues, one of the acts listed is Nicholas Senn High School.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. they are. I think that's really wonderful that they're bringing in, you know, like Vandercook College of Music, Fernando Jones, Professor Jones from Columbia College, mm-hmm. who runs News Camp. He's going to have his kids up there that are going to be doing a whole blues set up on the Harris rooftop. So that's going to be fun. I love, you know, when you see little kids jamming to blues music, mm-hmm. it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay, let's go to Saturday the 7th. Let's hit the Pritzker Pavilion, the place where you're going to see literally thousands of your closest friends are going to be there to see who's going to be on the lineup.
Okay, so the main lineup, and this is about the third year in a row. Actually, they didn't have it last year, but this year, again, they are going to be doing the Women in Blues tribute mm-hmm. to Denise LaSalle.
I love it.
And that's going to feature Nellie Tiger Travis, who has now gone to the South. She went back to, she's in Atlanta, but she's coming home. The Queen of Detroit Blues, who just won Soul Artist of the Year at the Blues Music Awards, that is Bernetta Davis. I love that lady. You will be blown away to see her. And then Chicago's very own Nora Jean Wallace, and Miss Reese with Jonathan Ellison, who is another up-and-coming young artist from Mississippi. This is a kid who had his residency at Rose's Lounge on Armitage. I just did a story on him about a year ago. His name is Joey Say. Dave was talking about this. He's young. This is like a young artist set. It's Joey Say, Stephen Hall, who I think is about 18, from Racine, Wisconsin, and Young Rel, they call him, Harold Davenport, who was just recently signed to Alligator Records. And then you've got the soulful voice of Lattimore.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a big dime.
You know, yes, absolutely. And then, of course, we haven't even gotten to the young man who is stealing the stage in hearts all over the world, who they're billing as the next B.B. King, and that is Kingfish, Chris Stone, Kingfish Ingram.
And he is the headliner that night, Saturday night, June 7th at 7:45 at Pritzker. Okay. Before we run out of time, I'm looking here at the 5th and the 6th, so that's Thursday and Friday. Friday, because I know that's a huge night for Blues Fest, people are out of work. They're like, okay, we're going to go. It's a tradition. So on Friday, what do we got happening at the Pritzker Pavilion?
Okay, so Friday, we start out with DK Harrell, we talked about, hailing from Montreal, Dawn Tyler Watson, then the beloved last guitarist, one of the last guitarists for Muddy Waters, John Primer, with Steve Bell, who is Carrie Bell's son. And then the big finale, the B.B. King Centennial Tribute, featuring Kingfish, Jonathan Ellison, and the B.B. King Centennial Band.
Ooh.
And it's presented with the B.B. King Museum and Delta Interpretive Center. The Chicago guy, boy, I wish we had time to bring him on. Robert Terrell hails from Chicago, and he is now the director of the B.B. King Museum in Indianola.
Oh.
And, really fascinating guy. Maybe we'll have to talk about having him on sometime during the centennial.
Yeah. Well, I know we've scratched the surface. We wanted to hit some of the things that are happening at the Pritzker, but as we said at the outset, you've got the Romova Theater, you've got the Harris Theater. Things are going to be happening all over the place. Folks can go to the website for the Blues Fest. Just go to chicago.gov and you can click on Blues Fest.
Right.
And Lynn, you're going to be exhausted by the time the 9th of June rolls around.
Just Johnny, it actually starts tomorrow. I'll make it really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow there is a Del Mar stroll with an acoustic set throughout on Rockwell at Del Mar. There's also a free concert with Lynn Jordan singing the songs of Nina Simone at Rosa's.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow night. Monday night at the Mojo Museum in Bronzeville is John Primer and the Real Deal Band. Tuesday night is John Primer at Fitzgerald. Wednesday night is the kickoff blues party. That's Big Lou Johnson from SiriusXM Radio. He's doing his second annual Big Blues Fest kickoff. And you know what? They're honoring 94-year-old Bob Stroger, the oldest touring musician. I think probably, well, maybe Marshall Allen, who's 101. He may be.
That's wild.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Bob Stroger will be there, and that party kicks off Wednesday night at 8:30. And for your listeners who cannot make it to Blues Fest, Friday night at Fitzgerald's, Mud Morganfield is going to be doing his signing of his contract with his new record label and premiering some of his new songs on the patio at Fitzgerald.
Cool.
And I believe that starts at 8:30.
That's awesome. Lynn, I'm exhausted just talking to you. Thanks a million for your time tonight, and thank you for doing what you do for the blues community and for keeping us up to date on what's happening in that world. Appreciate
it. That's going to be an extraordinary blues fest. We've got more coming up. Stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yes, we go from the blues to Taylor Swift, and we played not Taylor's version, but the original version of Shake It Off, because the big news was that after years and years of haggling back and forth, Taylor Swift was able to buy her complete catalog. Those of you who are Taylor Swift fans know that there was a whole big thing about the guy who bought Taylor's original catalog, and they never even gave her the option of buying it,
right?
Which is what ticked her off, and I don't blame her.
She hasn't revealed any particulars about the deal that allowed her to buy back all of her original stuff, but she did say that it was reasonable, it was fair.
In fact, one of the things she said, she was very complimentary about the company who bought her original songs from Scooter, and they then negotiated with Taylor, and she said they were above board, they were really nice, and she couldn't have been more complimentary about it. So now basically she owns all her stuff, and I know there are people who are saying, oh, who cares, she's got so much money. The point is that this was her creations, and she was never given the opportunity. Most artists' recordings are paid for and owned by the recording companies, but they're given the opportunity to purchase those things. She was never given that opportunity.
I wonder how that happened. I don't know that anybody's ever given us the nitty-gritty on how she blinked, and next thing you know, she found out that everything had been sold.
And I'm curious, because Taylor posted on her website, she was mentioning that she feels very good when she hears from newer artists who are saying that because of what she has done, they are now negotiating contracts that give them the option to own their things. And I'm kind of wondering where that got sidetracked, because I believe we were talking a couple weeks ago, years ago, I want to say it was back in the 60s, when Frank Sinatra left Capitol Records and started Reprise Records. One of the things he did with Reprise Records was he gave all of the artists who recorded for Reprise Records wound up owning their own masters. Mm-hmm. So he was really, to my knowledge, the first person on a major scale to say, okay, you're an artist, you're recording this, you're going to own this master. I wonder why it didn't become the norm throughout the industry, and Taylor is really the next person who has really made a thing about that.
Didn't Paul McCartney own all of his stuff?
Through his own company.
Oh, okay.
But remember, there was the whole thing where they didn't own the publishing. Michael Jackson bought the publishing.
That's right. Yes.
Michael Jackson bought the publishing from Northern Songs, the original publisher of a lot of the Beatles stuff.
Mm-hmm. So when you hear a song being used in a commercial, like for an antacid or a vacuum cleaner, don't point a finger to the artist, because it's quite possible that the record company just made that available for...
And it's a complicated thing, because there are... The money is divided up numerous ways.
Mm-hmm.
For example, and I'm not telling anything out of school here, anytime you hear Eye of the Tiger used on anything, Jim Peterik is getting a cut of that.
Right.
Because he was one of the original writers, and I'm not sure if he still controls the publishing, but there's writers... Then there's publishers, then there's recording companies. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a pie that is cut up. And performance rights.
Yeah, because for years now, there's been quite a big stink about performers literally getting pennies.
Right.
Pennies. They'll get checks for 64 cents, for example.
Yeah.
It's like, really?
Yeah. And in some cases, some very well-known performers that have had huge hit records.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Ides, I heard from Jim Peterik the other day, because they've got some gigs coming up in July, and it looks like we're going to get an acoustic version of the Ides of March in the studio.
In fact, remember the last time we had the Ides in, Jim was sick, and one of the other members, we had two of the Ides because the other half of the Ides, Mike and Bob came in,
and it was fun because we got to hear their side of the traveling with Jim Peterik, and that was really great. Yeah, in fact, there were a couple of guys that were sick in the band, but they're going to come in to do a little performance for us in July, which is right around the corner. So we have officially launched our summer concert series, because we've had some great performances.
Yeah.
And we should mention, last week we did have the Empty Pockets, two of the pockets, the front pockets, with us in studio. And over the next few days, when you go to our website, you're going to see some video.
When you go to our blog.
Our blog. You're going to see videos that Julian did. He pulled those together.
Wonderful videos.
Yeah.
And no, they're not up yet. It's just because we're working on a whole bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you're going to see on our blog is a lot of pictures from what we realized was our 10-year anniversary of having been inducted into the WGN Radio Walk of Fame. So we've got some... That post is going to wind up on our blog over the weekend, and then there will be the Empty Pockets videos. And if you haven't checked out our blog, you should go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And also look for us on Blue Sky. We're doing a lot of stuff on Blue Sky. And we know the lion's share of people... I think it's around 10,000 people who follow us on Facebook, and we appreciate that. But we're not as enamored of Mark Zuckerberg's land as we used to be,
and it's changing.
Yeah,
I hate when they make changes that were unnecessary. I had a heck of a time last week accessing my Facebook page and Messenger, and I was blaming it on Samsung and an update on my phone. And in fact, it was, changes that they were making
yep.
with that weren't necessary with Facebook and Messenger. So,
We're going to take a break, and after the break, we're going to introduce you to
yes.
someone that you really should know. He's become a well, we all look up to him because we can't believe what he did.
Yes, yes. He's a young man that we get to chat with for a few minutes as we're leaving the building on Sunday morning. So mm-hmm. stay with us, and we'll introduce you to him.
We want to bring in Tom Appel. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
How are you tonight?
I am well, thank you.
What are we drinking? What's in that big Coke, in that big cup with the straw?
Diet Pepsi.
Okay.
I'm so predictable.
I know. I was hoping you were going to say iced tea or something like that. But
by the way, before we get to what we're going to get to, you sent us an email yesterday about a vehicle that you're going to be looking at in a couple weeks that you're so excited about?
Yeah, it's a version of the Ford Bronco. And I think people know now that Ford sells the Bronco, which is an alternative to the Jeep Wrangler. And they've got a version of this coming up called the Strop, Stroppe.
Wait. Stroppe.
What does that stand for?
Now, that's going to be Stroppe. You know that.
And why does it stand for that, whatever it is?
It's someone's name, and it goes back to a rally vehicle that Ford sponsored way back in the early 70s. So this vehicle, in this wonderful throwback to 70s vehicles, is orange and white with a white painted grille and white wheels. It's this wonderful throwback. I love that look. I love 70s car design anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a totally legit off-roader that happens to be completely made to look like a 70s throwback vehicle. It's fantastic looking. I'm looking forward to driving it.
So orange and yellow and white, so easy to avoid the police, right?
Yeah.
That reminds me of the Indy pace car that we were in that was purple with lemon yellow pinstriping and lemon yellow leather seats.
Oh, the Corvette.
Oh, my gosh. It was awful because every place you went, it was wonderful to drive, but it was the rest of the world that wanted to get up close. And you're like, no, don't get any closer to us, please. And it was stick shift, too. So every time you were on the incline and they wanted to get up real close to the car.
And that was, I hadn't driven stick shift in years, so I wound up reteaching myself how to drive stick shift on this Indy 500 pace car Corvette.
In purple with yellow pinstripes.
And I hated it because if you haven't driven stick shift for a while and you are stopped on a hill, there will be someone who will mm-hmm. get on your bumper and you're afraid the car's going to roll back.
Mm-hmm. Or when you take your foot off and get ready to accelerate, now you're going to roll a little bit. Yeah. Is the vehicle you're going to, the wacky vehicle you're going to road test, is it going to be manual or?
Oh, that'll be an automatic.
Oh, it's good.
The larger 2.7 liter EcoBoost engine, which I believe mates only to an automatic.
So who's the Stroppe guy?
I don't know. I should have come to this conversation better equipped. I don't know who he was. And I will know the next time we chat.
And it's pronounced Strope?
Now I don't. You made me question it. I was sure it was Strope, and now the door is open to it being Stroppe, which actually sounds more correct.
See, the more you say the name, the more I'm thinking, okay, it's either a French painter or an Italian wine.
Yes, I'm thinking wine. You're right. Yeah, a sommelier. Okay, I looked it up, and in fact, they have a website just for the Stroppe. So, kids, if you want to look it up.
Stroppe here in front of me, so that's the pronunciation.
Yeah, it does look pretty tough.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of hesitant. You said, hey, I'll swing by. You can take a little ride. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't excite me. Now I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, this is getting closer to driving a big truck. I'm liking that.
Yeah, it looks like fun.
Okay, I'm going to fess up because we have no secrets. We're kind of vamping because we had plans to talk to one of our favorite security people here in the building, and I'm wondering if he might have gotten a little mic shy.
Or lost. We were afraid he got lost in the building.
Each Sunday night or Sunday morning as we're leaving, we wound up talking to Isaac, and he was telling us about this 2005 Ford 500 that he has that was originally a six-cylinder engine that he turned into an eight-cylinder. And we shared the story with Tom, and Tom immediately said, I have so many questions.
I do.
So we invited Isaac to join us, and we thought he was going to be here, but...
He said he was on his way. Honest to God, I said, I think he's lost somewhere in the building. And we all said, well, wait a minute, he's the security guard for the building. Wouldn't he know the ins and outs?
But I don't know that he's ever been up here to the 18th floor.
This is true, yes.
I told him which one. Okay. He's probably still on patrol. Maybe
lunch. Well, that's true, too. Yeah. All right. Now, I just clicked on, I'm taking you back to the Bronco, the special edition Bronco. And when does it hit the streets? You know, we've already got people that want to know when it hits the streets.
It's a 2025. I think it was added mid-year, so it should be out there now.
It's actually cute. It looks more red, white, and blue than it does the way you described it, because the top of the vehicle is blue. Then you got that wide white stripe, and then the bottom that's orange makes it look very red, white, and bluish.
Interesting. I've only seen pictures, but yeah, I didn't realize that the top was blue.
Yeah,
which is interesting. Yeah,
and the price range is.
I think it starts around $80,000.
Oh. Okay, all right. Oh. So yeah,
I'm not going
to be a lot of these on the road.
Yeah, I'm not going to go off roading, and no. $80,000.
That's the thing about these vehicles. Like, they're capable off-road, but do you want to do that to your off-road vehicle?
Yeah.
If it's $80,000, and you may not want to. You want to borrow one.
Right, yes.
That was one of the things that I was really surprised at. We've mentioned that a few years ago we got a Genesis GV80, and one of the things I was surprised at was in the brochure... And also there's a video of the Genesis GV80 doing all this crazy off-roading things in the desert. Mm-mm. And I'm thinking, okay, that's nice. I'm glad you can do that, but are we ever going to do that? No, 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 no.
And we're avoiding potholes, so there's no way we're not. Yeah. I looked at Steve and said, don't get any crazy ideas. All right, we have been joined in studio. Mr. Isaac, would you put your headphones on, please, sir? This is young Isaac that we see as we leave on Sunday morning, and we just kind of have a few minutes to just kind of catch up on what's happening in our world. How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right tonight.
Good. We were afraid you got lost in the building.
No, we had some business to take care of outside the garage.
Did you? All right. Well, this is Tom Appel on the line. You're going to hear him talking, too. Tom does our car segment, as we told you last
Tom
week.
Tom is the publisher of Consumer Guide. And Tom, say hi to Isaac.
Hey, Isaac, I'm pretty sure we met one night, so hello.
Oh, when you came to the studio, sure. Yes. So, Isaac, we told Tom a couple of weeks ago about how you have this Ford that comes as a V6.
This is a 2005 Ford 500, correct?
Correct.
And you said very matter-of-factly, well, it's a V8 now because I changed it out. And we just mentioned it to Tom, and he said, no.
Yes, I changed out the engine block, yeah.
How
blah? So no longer eight pistons. No longer six pistons, eight pistons now.
So did you say that you went to an auction and you bought the V8?
No, I went to a pick and pull and bought the V8. Like, where you go to, like, a junkyard, you go to the junkyard for car parts.
Yeah.
So I went to a junkyard for car parts, fixed up the engine and stuff like that. And then I bought the car from an auction as well, too.
Now, you say this also matter-of-factly, and we're all saying,
no.
What? Tom, I'll let you jump in with any questions you have.
I have two big questions, and the first one is what V8 engine is, what V8 engine is it, where did it come from, and is this still a transverse setup? Like, did you have to completely reconfigure the front end of the car, or did you somehow fit the V8 in there transversely?
No, it's an F-Ford 150 V8.
Oh.
It's an F-Ford 150. What? Yeah, it's like from a pickup truck.
Oh.
Yeah, it's from a pickup truck. So
isn't that too big for the space?
No, actually it's not. It's like it fit right in.
What?
It fit right in. I had a little space at first. Like I could put another two more cylinders on here.
Oh, so, my God.
So you could have made it a 10-cylinder if you wanted to?
No, it wasn't that big, but it had a little bit more space underneath the hood.
Because we really couldn't wrap our minds around how you could take this big 8 and put it, but you really went big coming from an F-150 pickup truck.
Yes. So I just, because my old engine block was all cracked up and stuff like that, so I was like, it's a V6. I wonder if I can put a V8 in it. And then I was like, you know
I've
what?
Never heard of this conversion before.
I could put a V8
this is
in
fascinating.
It.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I got a lot of friends. My daddy, he a mechanic. So I got a lot of friends in a mechanical business that got their own little shops. So they actually put the steps in my head, be like how I can do it, like converge the transmission, the flywheel, keep all the parts together, like, you know, like the compressor and the oil pan and stuff like that. All that stuff is still on it. So all I had to do was just take it to my friends, give me some advice, and it was easy to put in because
really?
it was a little tight fit, but it wasn't a lot tight fit. Like sometimes
so you just dropped it
stuff.
In.
Yeah, just pretty much just dropped it in.
Wow.
I'm sorry, as you're talking about all this, easy is the word I would never think of.
I know.
How long did it take you to do this?
I did it on my own budget, so I ain't had no other help. So it took me about like 6 to 8 months to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I did it on my own time. So it took me like 6 to 8 months to do it, but
and it runs. I mean, it
runs completely. Yeah, completely
it's not
runs.
A problem.
I drive to work every day. So
really,
wow.
That's the one we've seen parked down in the garage.
Yeah,
right?
Yep, it's in the dock area. But yeah, I park it in the dock area every shift.
Wow. What's your gas mileage with a V8?
It's like 16 to 18 miles per gallon.
That's good too.
It's because it's a new engine, like a newer engine that I put in there. I have to use it's original oil. There ain't no synthetic oil in there.
Okay,
so it's original oil. I put new parts in there, so I'm just trying to slowly but surely break it in. But like if I break it in all the way, I think the gallon mileage is gonna go down like 2 miles, but like 2 miles though.
Oh, golly!
So how does it handle? That's a lot of extra weight.
Because I have a lot of weight in my trunk as well, too. I have a 3-ton jack, a lot of tools, and I'm also in the band, so I got some band instruments back there. There's a lot more weight in my trunk.
So you're balanced.
So it's not empty. My trunk is not empty.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It'd be a lot of kitty litter back there.
And then it's an all-wheel drive, so I know it can take it. So the car was originally all-wheel drive.
Okay.
So the only thing I had to really do change was the serpentine belt. The serpentine belt is no longer plastic. It's metal. So I have a serpentine chain on it now because the engine came with a chain. So now I have a chain on it.
So you really learned all of this since you were like 12 years old working with your dad, right?
Yes.
Your dad is a mechanic?
Yeah, my daddy is currently a mechanic, yeah.
Wow.
Well, I have to tell you, we're all in awe.
Yeah, we're so impressed. I'm like, okay. Tom, next time you come to the radio station, you can go down to the garage and you can look at it. We'll pop the hood for you.
Yes, you can. Yeah, you can see it.
That's great.
That's incredible.
In fact, I'm going to ask if at some point if you could just take a picture of your engine and we'll share it with Tom.
Yeah, I can take a picture.
Yeah, please.
That'd be awesome. Well, I know you're on your break, so thank you, Isaac, for stopping in. We appreciate it. And thank you for coming up to the 18th floor.
There's no problem.
Yeah.
I like the 18th floor. It looked nice.
Because I'm kind of convinced that Tom wasn't 100% sure that this actually happened when we told him this. So, good. You went on the radio and you have told the truth.
Now, he can go on YouTube and see it as well. People do a lot of engine swaps.
Wow.
They do a lot of engine swaps these days.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Isaac. Okay. Isaac is our security guard who's done this amazing thing with his V6, making it a V8. Stay with us. We'll be talking cars with Tom Appel.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And before we get to anything else, we have to say
rabbit, 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 rabbit. Rabbit. Yes, it is June 1st. And the first of the month, we always have to rabbit, rabbit, rabbit everyone.
And I wonder if this this means on Jimmy Kimmel this week. I wonder if we're going to see their... They usually do this sort of a compilation of all of the TV news shows saying, I can't believe it's already June.
Can it be June already?
June.
My, how the last 5 months have flown right by.
As if it's never been June before.
Yes.
That chortling you hear in the background, that is Tom Appel. And Tom, the theme for Tom's cartoons this week is?
Mrs. Robinson, Four Ways.
What?
I'm sorry, my mind goes, especially with Mrs. Robinson, my mind goes in a totally different direction.
I want to know what inspired this, because again, cartoons are the things that Tom uses to try out the sound system in the cars that he's road testing. So how did you stumble on the Mrs. Robinson Four Ways?
It's a good story. My daughter and I play a game in the car where she's allowed to pass any of my music up to two times, and then she's stuck with whatever comes up next. We do this when listening to music randomly. So we have it set to random, and one day we're driving around, one day last week, and Mrs. Robinson came up, and I think it was the version we just heard, and she hit pause, hit next, and another version of Mrs. Robinson popped up. At which point she said, how many versions of this song do you have? And the answer was 11.
What?
And she said, you have to share these with Steve and Johnny. So that's where we're at.
Well, thank you, Harper. It's a kind of a different approach to Tom's cartoons tonight.
And the version we just heard was?
That was Booker T and the MGs off the album called The Booker T Set from 1969. And you know what's kind of interesting about this? The first three songs I have here that are Mrs. Robinson all came out in 68 or 69, which is the actual movie came out in 68. So they jumped on a chance to do covers of this song.
I find myself thinking, why? But we'll move on.
And I know it's heresy, but as much as I like Paul Simon, I was never that much of a fan of the song Mrs. Robinson. I mean, it was okay. I got the context in the movie and everything, but it just...
It worked in the movie. It was great. Yeah. You've seen the movie, right, Tom?
Oh, yeah, several times.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about Harper? Has she seen the movie? Did she appreciate it on that level?
No, she hates it. She absolutely hates the movie, and she likes movies from that era. Uh-huh. So, yeah, it's not exactly a zeitgeisty thing, but yeah, she doesn't like the movie. Also, she thinks Benjamin Braddock was a stalker.
Really?
So that kind of poisoned the movie for her.
I kind of think she's right. See, I feel the same way about Breakfast at Tiffany's. I got this is not a classic. This is weird and creepy, people. Yeah,
if you really look into the concept
it's
of
creepy.
Breakfast at Tiffany's, it's weird.
And I know now I'm going to get hate mail from people. You don't understand the classic. I just know when I saw it as a kid, I went, this doesn't seem right. I don't think I want to grow up and be like that.
But I have to stay with your cartoons for a second. When you're listening to the cartoons, so you just kind of leave it on shuffle. Is that so you can test the sound system in different ways? Because if I were to put in a CD, and yes, I would put it in a CD rather than downloading something, I would want to stick with a particular mood for the moment. But is your thought, if you leave it on random shuffle, that way you get to really test out what the system can do?
Well, random shuffle is generally a nod to my daughter, who hates most of my music. So that gives her a chance to listen to other stuff. I have very particular albums I like to go back to a lot of the time. And one of them, Steve, you actually turned me on to, which was the Kenny Burrell album. Is it called Midnight Blue?
Midnight Blue, yeah, great album.
Yeah, fantastic, and it's nicely produced. It's a great stereo tester, and I love all things Ray Bryant, the pianist Ray Bryant. So those are like my go-to albums for car stereo testing.
Listen to us talking cars, all about music.
And for those of you who may be joining us for the first time, and you're wondering, who the heck is this Tom guy who does this random shuffle car stuff? Tom is Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide. And blatant plug, what's going on at Consumer Guide?
Yeah, check us out at consumerguide.com. I just posted an interesting article written for me by a colleague that we posted on Consumer Guide, but Ed Piotrowski, I've worked with him for years, attended the MAMA Spring Rally, the Midwest Automotive Media Association Spring Rally, which is a media event, but he tested three premium crossovers that he had not driven before. So we have his review of those three vehicles. He compares the vehicles, and he's got some nice pictures, too.
And what are the vehicles?
We have the Alfa Romeo Tonale, the BMW 3 Series, and the all-new Acura ADX. Acura has added a very small vehicle at the bottom end of its lineup. Very price accessible, starts around $38,000. He's got some interesting takes on that. Maybe it's just a little too accessible, and maybe it's not quite Acura quality. So it's a good read.
Hmm. By the way, we're going to have to break here in a second, but I wanted to throw something at you that jumped out of our news feed earlier this week. It was a quote from I forget who at Cadillac saying that Cadillac, they're finding out that a significant number of people that are choosing to buy an EV from Cadillac are coming from Tesla. That it's just been overwhelmingly people who want to get into EVs, there are a ton of Tesla people. Had you heard about that?
I have, and it makes a lot of sense. If we remember, if we go back 18 months, Teslas were still relatively expensive and being sold at a premium price. So the comparison of Tesla products to other luxury makers is not actually that weird. And Cadillac now sells six different EV models. Mm. So they're in a position to get that audience. And frankly, the Cadillacs are much nicer inside and much quieter, too. They compare well.
I found this this story with this specifics. So far this year, nearly 8 out of every 10 Cadillac EV buyers are new to the brand, with Tesla trade-ins accounting for 10% of those purchases.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's very significant.
For the Cadillac Lyriq SUV specifically, Tesla trade-ins have surged to roughly 25%.
That's huge.
Up from the previous level of 10%. The uptick is what the industry calls customer conquesting, quote-unquote, conquesting, comes as Cadillac builds out one of the market's most comprehensive luxury EV portfolios. Its current electric lineup includes the entry-level Optiq. Is that how you pronounce it? Optiq?
Yeah.
Optiq. The midsize Lyriq, the three-row Vistiq, correct? Vistiq?
I think it's Vistiq, yeah.
Okay. And the full-size Escalade IQ, a performance Lyriq variant, and the ultra-luxury...
I think it's Celestiq.
Why?
Johnny, that's a great question, but they all end in IQ. Cadillac calls the Escalade the Escalade IQ because Escaletic was a terrible name.
Thank you. Escaletic is a really bad name. And if you've got $300,000, you can call your Celestiq anything you want, because that's what it is priced at, over $300,000.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Now, GM has been making a strong push towards EVs. How many, let's stick with Cadillac for a second. How many ICE cars does Cadillac still sell?
You're talking about combustion engines.
Yeah, internal combustion engines.
If we assume that we're out of CT4s and CT5s, those are the ICE sedans, this compact and midsize sedan, nice cars, but they're discontinuing them, and they just continued the XT4, which was their compact crossover, that leaves them only the XT6, XT5 and XT6, and the gasoline-powered Escalade. Those are the only gas-powered vehicles left.
Wow.
So they're really... throwing their lot in with electric vehicles.
More than any other company right now, any other non-pure EV company. Yeah, it's exciting to see, and it's exciting to see that it's working for them.
Yeah, it's nice to see that it's paying off. Just before we break, one other General Motors thing. I'm hearing rumors of a possible return of Camaro. What are you hearing?
Different things. The Camaro name looks like it might be applied to a crossover. That'll be an EV. It'll be a high-performance version of something that's already out there. So it's interesting, but I doubt it's going to be an actual Camaro.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, I had to chuckle when he said Camaro, Camaro. I'm like, oh, it's got a little ring to it. Camaro, yeah. Camaro. It's better than Celestique.
Yeah, we're watching Ford Mustang sales decline, unfortunately, and it's kind of the last vehicle out there in its class. So I don't know that that class is very attractive to other makers right now.
We are going to take a break, Tom. Hang in there. We'll come back. We're talking cars. You got questions. You want to sneak them in for Tom, 312-981-7200. You can text us at that number. You're listening to WGN.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking cars with the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel, and this is one of Tom's car tunes. And Tom, even if I didn't know who that was, I would know who that is. That, of course, Chet Atkins. And every now and then, as we're in the living room, Johnny and I will have one of the background music channels on instrumentals. And anytime one of Chet's songs comes on, I can always tell it's Chet.
And the new book about Chet's life hits the streets on Monday, and yours will be in the mailbox on Monday.
And we may be interviewing the author, too.
Yep. We ordered it. I think it was way back in November of last year.
When we first found out it was coming up.
Mr. Guitar.
So you want to give us the rest of the 411 on that particular cut?
Oh, that's off an album called Solid Gold 68. So that came out the year that song came out. And again, Chet, like other artists, really wanted to cover that one right away.
By the way, speaking of Chet Atkins and terrific guitar players, happy 70th birthday Saturday to Tommy Emmanuel.
Yes.
Oh. Mm.
And we were going to try and check in with Tommy, but he's over in Australia right now.
And they're 14 hours ahead of us. Yeah. So. Tom Appel, a listener at 312-981-7200 says, please, Tom, inquiring minds would like to know what car is in your cover photo this week.
Oh, I don't know why that's confusing people. If we're talking about my banner image on Facebook, I think it's just a strange angle. But that is the relatively famous Chrysler Airstream from 1935 or 1936. And for people who don't know about that car, it was a very early Art Deco exploration of aerodynamics. And while the car was beautiful, it didn't work for Chrysler, and it sold very poorly, unfortunately. Luckily for Chrysler, they had a cheaper line of vehicles that sold well during that period. But I think it's the angle of that drawing that's confusing people.
And wasn't that the classic story of it was at the time? Because Chrysler was always known for its engineering, and at the time it was one of the, if not the most aerodynamic vehicle that anyone had produced. But because of the low sales, they had to go back to their comparatively boxy-ish looking cars for a while. But Chrysler was really in the forefront of aerodynamics.
Yeah, it's a shame. There was a DeSoto version of this vehicle, too, similarly aero, and it looked about the same way, or looked about the same. And that vehicle also sold poorly, unfortunately. And it's a shame that their bravado was not rewarded because it did not influence design immediately, unfortunately.
So what are you behind the wheel of this week?
Well, this week right now, I'm driving the 2025 Toyota 4Runner Trail Hunter. The 4Runner is all new this year, a lot of big changes, and Trail Hunter is a new top trim level of that vehicle. And people may remember that the 4Runner unlike the Highlander, is a body-on-frame vehicle, and it's kind of designed for rugged use, so a little bit elevated ride highs, different wheels and tires, and generally different situation, and less fuel efficient than the Highlander, which is about the same size. The Trail Hunter is all new this year. It's a new top-line off-roady vehicle, very cool looking, and mine's a great color of blue, like a teal blue color. And it's remarkably refined given that it has a legit off-road mission to accomplish. And they've gone from a big old kind of old school V6 to a new turbocharged hybrid four-cylinder engine that generally works pretty well. It's not quite as smooth as the old six, but it is much more fuel efficient.
And jargon alert for people who are saying, okay, body on frame means what?
Body on frame is a fairly old school design, but we still see it in things like full size pickup trucks and serious SUVs. It's where there's a chassis and then the body is mounted to the chassis. Whereas most vehicles these days that you might buy, that most people own, are unibody. And that means that there is a single monocoque construction, and the body panels are just applied to that. Unibody cars are lighter, they ride lower, they're generally more efficient, and they're better, they're more space efficient too. But they don't work for heavy-duty towing, and they're not great for off-road use.
And the advantage to body-on-frame for off-road is?
That the frame itself is super heavy-duty, and it won't torque or twist, and that even if it does, the body itself is independent of that and mounted to it. So you're not doing any damage to the body in the event of some serious stress to the chassis. Also, you can tow a lot more.
Before we take a break for news, Bill Strope is the guy responsible for the 2025 Ford Bronco Strope Special Edition. He deserves to have a vehicle named after him.
Because?
Legendary builder who prepped a stock 1969 Bronco and delivered Ford the outright victory in the Baja 1000 race. It is the only time a stock 4x4 has taken the outright title in that race.
That's cool.
Yeah, so he's a big deal. So
do they you would think that they should include a little bit of information on him in like a little special badge or a little special manual or something if you buy this vehicle, and here's why this is so cool.
Mm-hmm. And a picture.
This is why you're paying the $80,000.
Yeah. And a picture of Bill and a picture of the vehicle.
And a gold plaque.
No, stop. Tom, when we come back after the news, can we spend a few minutes and talk about some recalls? Because I guess there are quite a few of them from the past few days.
We got three big ones. Yeah.
Yeah. A listener's concerned about the rear cameras on, I believe it's on Ford's.
Uh huh.
So we'll get to that and a whole lot more. So stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking cars, all things automotive, with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide. And Tom's cartoons theme tonight is various versions of Mrs. Robinson. And if I didn't know who that was, Tom, listening to the introduction, I would have thought, oh, Herb Alpert. But no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But who, in fact, was
that? That is Ray Bryant. That is pianist Ray Bryant off the album Up Above the Rock from 1968.
Again, 68.
Yeah.
The blatant plug light has started flashing again. And for people who don't know, tell them all about Consumer Guide and where they can. And what do we find on Consumer Guide right now?
Yeah, if you go to Consumer Guide right now, I've got a bunch of new reviews up there. I have reviewed the Kia Carnival recently. That is Kia's minivan, now available for 2025 with a hybrid engine. The Lincoln Corsair, which is Lincoln's smallest and most affordable crossover, that review is up there too. And the thing I wrote maybe a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, it's a nostalgia piece, but it's fascinating. It's about the Porsche 924S. That vehicle was only available for 2 years, and it was quashed in the pre-Euro era by a rising Deutschmark, and the vehicle simply became too expensive for Porsche to sell in the U.S. But for one beautiful moment, you could buy a Porsche for less than $20,000.
Whoa.
Just a weird point in time, yeah, and then it couldn't happen. The mark got stronger, the dollar got weaker, and they couldn't hold the line on price, and they discontinued the vehicle.
That was, what, the lowest price Porsche ever, to my knowledge?
Yes. There was a vehicle slightly cheaper the decade earlier, just called the 924, but it was kind of a disappointment as a Porsche, and in some markets it was actually sold as a Volkswagen. That vehicle was seriously revised and called the 944, but the 944 got expensive, so Porsche updated the old 924, called it the S. People loved it. Rave reviews. Car and Driver, Road and Track, Motor Trend loved the car. Couldn't believe the $20,000 price tag, and that price tag turned out to be unbelievable because they could stick to it, unfortunately.
Well, couldn't they save money if they left some numbers off the model name?
You would think so. Yeah, that S at the end really messed things up.
Can I take you back to the Kia Carnival for a moment?
Yeah.
It's an adorable vehicle. I'm not really crazy about that funky flat gray color, but the one that you had is really lovely. I haven't read their whole review. What are we talking about price for the Carnival?
This one is the Kia Carnival Hybrid SX Prestige. So this is all the minivan you can buy from Kia. And this one came to a relatively stiff 55 grand. But the good news about the Kia Carnival is minivans have gotten very expensive, and Kia is by far the least expensive. So you can buy a Carnival, not a hybrid, but a base Carnival for about 38 grand. And it's really the only minivan out there you can get for that. And then the hybrid version kicks in at 42, much, much less expensive than the Chrysler plug-in hybrid. So there is a value proposition here. It's not as nice inside. It's not quite as quiet as the Chrysler minivan. And it's not quite as fuel efficient as the Toyota Sienna hybrid. But it's got a really nice space to itself. It's affordable. It's really good looking.
It's two rows.
It's relatively fun to drive. It's three rows. And
it's three.
You can get it with all-wheel drive, too, which is nice. Or, I'm sorry. My mistake. You cannot get it with all-wheel drive.
You cannot get it with all-wheel drive. It's roomy, and we're talking this particular one that you drove, the SX Prestige, is over $50,000.
It is, yeah. You don't have to spend that kind of money, but this is fully loaded, and it feels like a luxury vehicle. I mean, the value is there if you want all that stuff, but you can do one cheaper.
I'm going to ask you to get into a little bit about one of the other vehicles that is that you'll see when you first go to Consumer Guide, the Nissan Kicks, because we were driving in tonight, and we pulled up to a stoplight, and we looked right next to it, and we said, wow, that's an interesting looking vehicle.
And you said,
vehicle.
Try to see what it is, because it was interesting looking.
Yeah.
And it was a Kicks.
So here's the good news, bad news about the Kicks. The good news is that it was redesigned for 2025, and it's always been this affordable, small hatchback, and really a crossover. I think arguably we can call it a crossover, but hatchback, elevated ride height, room for four people, and a surprisingly low entry price, usually around $22,000, $23,000. For 2025, the vehicle got a smidge larger, got a larger engine, which it needed. It went from a 1.5 to a 2-liter engine, and is now available with all-wheel drive, which it wasn't before. That's the good news. And this is a very likable vehicle, and we made it a Consumer Guide Best Buy. The bad news is they build these things in Aguascalientes, Mexico. And there's a very good chance that Nissan's going to stop bringing these in. Yeah, it's a tariff. It may be a tariff victim.
But this was a case of literally, it was a little bit of a head turner when we pulled up to this light, and the color was interesting. It was like a white with a black trim. And,
it was cool,
and the shape and just the everything about it, from a visual standpoint, was a kick.
Yeah, the top on the top trim level, you can get the black roof, which is usually a nice contrast to the body color. And it's still available in Nissan's trademark Monarch Orange. And if you're not familiar, it's a great-looking color.
Okay.
We should segue to recalls.
Yes, we've got a listener who's concerned about the rear camera problem. And is that on Fords?
It's on everything. This is the craziest week of recalls ever. There are three and a half really big recalls that have to do with rear view cameras. And the big one, the huge one, is Ford, because Ford can't let a week go by without having a huge recall anymore. But 1,100,000.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Ford vehicles, almost every single Ford model, going back between 2021 and 2024, subject to this recall. So clearly not all of them are involved, because Ford has sold more than 1 million vehicles in that period. But right now, every single model is affected, and they're going to get word out June 16th.
And what is the specific rear camera problem?
That the rear camera decides not to work. So it'll either freeze up or go black. Which is ridiculous. And, of course, we're all so used to using those now. This is genuinely dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't know how to drive a car with one.
Or back up. Yeah. You know, you're, and especially if you've got kids around and you always look at that as a safety feature. Yeah. So you can be sure that there are no bicycles, no kids right behind you. So if it freezes up or if it goes black, so it sounds like it's a software problem. So it shouldn't be a huge deal to fix it.
Correct. It's a software problem, and it may not be a big deal at all for some people, because it looks like Ford can do an OTA, an over-the-air update on some of these vehicles. So that will limit the amount of time some owners need to spend on this, and it'll limit Ford's exposure to costs, too, because obviously anything that involves people having to bring their cars to a dealership is expensive.
Wasn't there a recent recall that we talked about, the front brake line, the brake function, as I recall?
Oh, that was Ford. I think that was the Navigator. And the Expedition.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I think we talked about that last visit.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So for the listener who has a Ford and is concerned because you just heard that there was some kind of recall, be careful until you get your letter and you get that software fix.
And, yeah, the good news is you're going to know if you have this problem.
And occasionally it will give you the opportunity to drive old school and actually turn your head around. And use your rear view mirror and everything else.
If you have your headrest up on those seats in the back, you might see nothing but headrest when you turn over, when you look over your shoulder, right, Tom?
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, it's a problem these days, and it's a problem too because we have 2- and 3-row vehicles now that have rear headrests, and sometimes you have headrests in a third row, so it's very difficult to see out the back any other way.
And sometimes, sadly, on some of the vehicles, the headrests don't pop down that easily.
How many have we been in that we took the whole headrest out because there would be nobody in the back seats? Then you got them rattling around in the floor of the second or in the hatch. And he's like, nah, this is crazy. And that's why the backup camera comes in handy. So, again, Tom said June 16th, for the listeners who are concerned, June 16th, you will be mailed a letter. You can call your dealership and ask them about it, but it's not going to be a big deal. Meantime, we're into June, so it's just a matter of weeks before you get that information.
Other recalls we should be aware of?
Exact same thing at Volvo.
Oh.
And it's a big number for Volvo, too, much smaller manufacturer than Ford. But 413,000 vehicles built between 2021 and 2025, subject to the exact same problem. They're having problems with the rear view camera and the rear view screen. This is virtually every Volvo model built. And the Polestar 2, Polestar is Volvo's companion brand, and that vehicle is also subject to this recall. Word is going out on this one June 24.
We're going to take a break and come back. And I came across a story I want to share with you. It comes out of Dallas, and a trend in Dallas of people ignoring recall fixes. And I know you're saying, what? Why would you do that?
Well, so, it is Texas.
So. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Tom after this.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking all things automotive with Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide. And Tom's cartoon's theme for tonight is Mrs. Robinson, Four Ways.
That sounds kinky. Weird.
And you want to
I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, right, Tom. Sure. Just like that naked thing in your last group of... there's a theme that is creeping in to the double entendre cartoons theme that is becoming more and more pronounced. But that was who and from what?
That was Lawrence Juber off his 2013 album Under the Indigo Sky.
I just remembered we had Lawrence Juber in the studio with us.
We did, and we first saw Lawrence Juber years ago on one of Muriel Anderson's All-Star Guitar Nights.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool. He's an extraordinary guitarist.
He was a nice guy, too. He came in at midnight and just hung out with us for a while. All right, before we run out of time, I'm going to sneak in some questions for you, Tom. Listener says, okay. I looked up the new 4Runner Tom's driving. Is it correct that both the Trail Hunter and the TRD Pro will start at $67,000?
Yes. And Toyota's caught some flack for this, but when it introduced its new Tacoma, its compact pickup, and now the new 4Runner, it raised prices dramatically. And people may recall that there used to be waiting lists for these vehicles, so the demand was there, and they have raised prices considerably, and the demand still seems to be there. So this is what those vehicles go for, unfortunately.
It's been a while since we've talked about this, but if you know off the top of your head, or if you can quickly figure, what is the average price for a new car these days, or for a new vehicle?
It's gone up this year, and what we're seeing, not so much price increases, but that incentives have gone away, things like rebates. Mm. But we started the year at about $48,000 for a new car, and it looks like, it depends who's reporting, but I think Cox Automotive recently reported it being about $51,000 now.
And that's crazy.
It is.
Yeah. And the payments are up, too. The payments are up from about $750 to like $780. That's the average new car payment. And that's for 62 months.
I know everything costs more, but that just seems crazy.
Well, it doesn't seem like you're going to be packing groceries to buy a new car. I mean, if you're 18, 19 years old and you want to buy a new SNASmobile, it ain't going to happen on minimum wage.
We are slowly eliminating a class of people from the new car market, and prices are going to go up this year. And we've already seen Subaru announce significant price increases as a result of the tariffs, and other manufacturers are going to follow suit.
And the lion's share of that is probably tariff-related, but a lot of it is just the manufacturers saying, I need more.
There's that too. And then the manufacturers keep eliminating their least expensive models, and that drives up the average price as well. And you've got an interesting situation at GM where the two most affordable Buicks and the two most affordable Chevys are all imported from South Korea. And it's the question is, how long can GM keep the price down on those? And do they keep those vehicles around at all? Mm-hmm. Because the margins are so thin on those.
A listener at 630 says, Tom, what do you think of the 25 Mazda CX-70 plug-in hybrid for a 12-plus-year ownership?
The CX-70 is a companion to the CX-90, and these are Mazda's new midsize crossovers. The 70 is a two-row, the 90 is a three-row. They're a very similar vehicle, both available in plug-in hybrid trim. I hate to say this, but I really like those vehicles, and I like them with their standard six-cylinder engines. I am not a fan of the plug-in hybrids. I found the driving experience to be very crude, surprisingly crude for a Mazda product, and crude compared to other plug-in hybrids I've driven. I don't like it.
Why does it become more crude in a hybrid as opposed to anything else?
Because in hybrid, what you get is the interplay between the gasoline engine and the electric motors. Mm-hmm. And companies like Toyota that have been doing hybrids for years do this very well. And the software works and the mechanical gear works. In the Mazda's case, and this is specifically the hybrid system in these two vehicles, there's just a lot of fussing that the engine does with itself and a lot of gear shifts down low, a lot of catching the drivetrain off guard. And there's no response to throttle inputs for a little while. And then it comes in too quickly. It's just not smooth. It's not progressive. Now, if you think you want it and if you want to test drive it and you find something different, that's great. But my impression was not positive.
And wouldn't the of course, you can never speculate about a 12 plus year ownership. But my first thought, nothing against Mazda, but if you're buying something with this relatively new technology, in 12 years, oh boy, is that technology going to have changed.
Yeah, that's true too. Also, the range of plug-in hybrid vehicles, which is typically these days somewhere between 25 and 35 miles, though it gets higher, is going to seem quaint in 5 or 6 years, which may impact the resale value of these vehicles.
Quaint makes me think of, she's got a good personality.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of it's kind of a backhanded compliment. It's quaint. Lister from 847 says, between Tom and Patrick of the 12 o'clock hour can be very expensive. They're both great at adding items to my wish list. Well, that's a nice compliment, too.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to that is going to wind up in the consumer guide fleet?
Oh, wow. What's coming up soon? I just drove, and I wanted to drive this so badly, and we didn't talk about it tonight. The Toyota Crown Signia.
Oh, yeah.
You might know that the Crown is the replacement for the Avalon, more or less, but it has an elevated ride height. Nice vehicle. The Signia, we're just going to call it what it is. It's a station wagon, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful vehicle. It's probably the biggest surprise of this year. It rides great. It handles great. It's roomy. It's a hybrid standard and gets fantastic fuel economy. There is nothing here not to like but the price. The vehicle I drove came to about $50,000, which not crazy, but it seems like a lot for a midsize station wagon. But there is no such thing as a midsize station wagon anymore. So it's kind of a segment buster, and people should talk about looking at that vehicle.
The Avalon appealed to an older buyer, as I recall. It's very popular, in fact. But you said now the replacement for it rides higher, so it might be a little more difficult to get in and out of?
No, it's a little easier. It's just a little bit higher. Yeah. And this is that thing that Toyota will never tell you. This was designed for older Americans. They won't tell you that. You can't sell an old man's car to a young person, but it's actually easy to get in and out of. It's got a nice high roof. There's a lot here to really like, but yeah, it's actually better for the old folks than the Avalon. And I like it. I'm not that old.
Well, that's good to hear, because I can recall talking to our neighbors about, well, what vehicle could we get? Yeah. And they finally said the Avalon was the only one that allowed them to feel comfortable getting in and out of.
Well, and if you remember, Spike Odell had an Avalon hybrid that he loved.
He loved it, yeah.
Oh, right. Interesting.
Well, we have run out of time, Tom. Thank you. As always, we will be talking to you later on in June. We're not here next week, so everything will be off just about, I guess, a week. So it'll be a couple of weeks before we talk to you again. A lot more to talk about. A few more recalls, no doubt.
People should check out consumerguide.com, and they should follow you on Blue Sky at Car Guy Tom.
That's correct.
Sounds good. Thank you, as always. Appreciate it, Tom.
Thanks, guys.
Good night.
We always enjoy working with Gabe, but anytime we see Ryan, I always feel, okay, we're giving him an excuse for anything for the next week, because he's working overnight. Yes. Hi, Ryan.
I guess that's how it works, right?
You can have that sugary cereal for breakfast when you get home, because it's okay. You worked all night long.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. No, if you guys think I'm actually doing anything besides the head hitting the pillow, you'd be greatly mistaken.
So here we are, June 1st. You may have heard right after midnight, we both said rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. Mm-hmm. Is that a tradition in your house?
No, but I've been here for a decade now, so I remember Mary Vandeveld does that tradition. I know we remember Andrea Darlis. She was big into that. And yeah, I'm aware of it.
To our knowledge, it started with Wally Phillips.
Wally Phillips started it on this radio station. And I, working with Wally, I only heard him explain it one time because the lines would light up in the morning. People would be waiting to be the first to rabbit, rabbit, rabbit Wally so that they could get that Seymour Paisen scarf or that ladybug watch, you know, something wonderful like that. And one time he explained that French children back, well, then he would say last century, back in the 1800s, that was a tradition. When they would get to their classrooms, they would say rabbit, rabbit, rabbit on the first of the month, and that was for good luck. So we just all kind of, Bob Collins came along doing the morning show. He always did rabbit, rabbit, because we were on all night. We got to do it at midnight, right after. And sure enough, people would be stacked up waiting to share their rabbit, rabbit, rabbit with us so that they could win a prize. I did some research to find out where it comes from. And some people think it started with Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland because of the white rabbit.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of a stretch. And then the French are mentioned as well as English children. And there was a period where children would go to the chimney, to the fireplace, and then would look up the chimney and they would say rabbit, rabbit, rabbit in hopes of getting a present. Now we're getting really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think anytime you decide to look up a chimney, that's not a good moment.
It's not where I look for good luck.
Well, as the news person here, I just want to say, can you guys believe that it's June already?
Oh, no. You're going to be on the Kimmel show. I can't believe it.
Have you ever seen Jimmy Kimmel do that?
Yeah. No, it's
wonderful.
Funny.
It is so funny when he goes around the cut. And WGN-TV frequently makes the cut.
Yeah. Can't believe it's the first of the month.
It's part of our programming here in the news world. You got to say it.
So you've been here for 10 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. In fact, I think I started just like a week before you guys were inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. So
that was my
introduction.
Yeah. And you came from where?
Well, I'd bounced around. I'd actually worked for Tribune, so I'd been in the building before.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the first times we worked with you, you were a man on the street.
I'm still a man on the street.
Do you remember that?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I think I was, I think I did a live hit with you and someone took my microphone.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
There were some demonstrations going on. I think it was a Black Friday demonstration.
On Michigan Avenue.
This was after... oh boy, which demonstration was this one? I can't remember. But
yeah,
and we were in the showcase studio
because it was Black Friday, and you said you're going to go out on the street, and we said great, we'll get you out. And it worked great until somebody grabbed your microphone. So
took my microphone. That's live radio.
Yeah,
right there. I remember too. This would have been before, but when I was working at the Tribune, I remember. Do you remember when someone threw a brick through the window?
Oh,
of the studio?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was taking a picture of it in the Chicago Tribune. Took a picture of me taking a picture of the thing, and I ended up in the Tribune. Yeah.
And that takes me back to the beginning days in that showcase studio when I was doing traffic, and that was my office. And they would tell me, don't worry, these are bulletproof. Nobody can do anything with this. And then when that story broke, I was like, excuse me, you people lied to me all those years?
Mm-hmm.
Because my back was to the glass back, you know, originally. That's the way the studio was set. It was not made for broadcasting originally because the hosts were up on a pedestal and we were down low looking up at them like we were sitting at their feet, which was really weird.
And the times when Johnny and I hosted from that pedestal, that wall was so hot behind
us. Do you remember
us.
The lighted wall?
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
And yeah.
You could, the only time that lighted wall, because it was big squares, and you could change the light, it could be like a disco setting, you could change the colors. The best time it was used, Vanna White was in studio, and they set it up where when she touched a square, the light came on.
Oh, wow.
And she would just touch, 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 and that was fun. I said, okay, that was worth it. The rest of it, not so much, because it's hot up here, really hot, sitting on top of those lights.
Speaking of that old studio, do you realize that today is an anniversary of sorts? This is 7 years that WGN Radio has been in this new location.
I've given quite a few tours here at the new location, whether it be students or groups that come through, and I tell, you know, they love our, we've got obviously great sight lines now. Mm. I mean, you guys are looking at the lake and Navy Pier and absolutely beautiful. And then I show them where we used to work and I say, you know, it was great working in the Tribune building, but I have to tell you guys, and I know we all have great experiences over there, I saw enough cockroaches and mice and broken pipes in that place that I am loving the place we're at right now. It's great to say we worked there, don't get me wrong, but that building was it was in need of some love.
Well, and one thing I do not miss, and there was one night when Johnny and I stopped doing the show, went out Michigan Avenue and called our general manager and said, if you want us to go back in the studio, you will do something to stop the guys who have the hazmat suits on, who are cleaning all of the brass in the front of the building. And
we were dying.
The smell was coming through the vents.
We were dying. We had no windows to open. They were wearing masks and hazmat suits.
I literally, that was back in the days, we still had turntables. I grabbed an album, put the needle on the start of the album. We went out on Michigan Avenue, called the general manager, and said, by the time this album is over, a couple things will have changed. Yeah. Either they will stop doing that, or we're going home.
Yeah.
I had a coworker we were on the fourth floor in the digital section of the Tribune building, and she literally had a cockroach fall into her coffee cup while she was working. She got up, looked at my boss, and said, I'm going home for the day.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Okay. I never heard that story.
Oh,
and
you
and I had a little exchange on Facebook not too long ago when somebody mentioned cockroaches. And I said, well, in all the years I was there, I never laid eyes on one. And then you came in with, well, you should have gone upstairs. Yeah. And I thought, wow, we were lucky down there.
But I do remember there were nights when, because we were all able to park out behind the Tribune Tower.
That was nice.
there were nights when we were came in looking for our parking space, but we had to make sure that the rat got out of it before we pulled in.
And they play, and they may still do that, and they play like fabricated bird sounds.
Yes.
Yes.
To try to make it sound like there's a hawk flying around to scare all the mice and the
rats.
It was so annoying because it was so loud. You get out of your car and you're like, okay, I'm going to get into the zone to go in there and do my show.
And then you hear,
like there are condors like above us, right? Hanging out underneath Michigan Avenue.
And you get in the building and you're like shaking. I'm like, ah. That's it.
And to anybody who wonders, we're not making any of this up.
No,
this
is, no.
In fact, there needs to be a chapter in the second book that we're working on, Tales from the Tribune Tower.
Yes, but I did love the ability to park out back. That was a treat. Because even now when we have guests come in, I have this lengthy explanation on how to get here and how to... Do you park in this building, Ryan?
When I don't take the train, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And we use Park Chirp. Can I tell you, folks, if you are coming downtown and you're thinking, well, I'm going to use that other app, Park Chirp is so much better than any other app out there. We've gone from a $35 fee for a Saturday night to a $12 fee.
Well, we felt bad. One time we were getting on the elevator, and there was a couple who apparently had lost their ticket, and they were just here for a few hours at $47.
Wow.
There was one kid down there that was crying. His was $70. He'd been over on Navy Pier and spent the whole day, and then he couldn't find his ticket, and then it came, and we were stepping on the elevator when he went, no! And I thought, he's a grown man, and he's crying. I didn't blame him, though. Well, Ryan, you're here for the rest of the night?
Yes, I am. You know, it's interesting. I came in, and it was still light, and I have a feeling when I leave, it'll be light outside.
It'll be light.
We're at an interesting part of the year, aren't we?
Yep. Yep, it's June 1st. We're going to take a break.
It's June already?
It is.
You believe it?
I know. Stay with us here on WGN.
Do, 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 do. loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That was one of Julian's Dealer's Choice songs. But that reminds me, I forgot to mention, while we were playing all of the Mrs. Robinson versions with it's the last hour, I'm running out of good words, with Tom Appel, along with the melody, all of them used that same riff that Simon and Garfunkel did to start it off.
Whether it was a pianist or a guitarist
they all went to that same riff.
Well, it's a pretty recognizable riff, too.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Tom, thankfully, a listener caught this. 319 area code listener said, thank you for answering my question. I'm sorry that it sidetracked you on the story of the Texas recalls, because I teased with, I'll tell you about how Texans are ignoring automobile recalls. And it's a fact, which just blows my mind. Anyway, they have more than 6 million vehicles in Texas with open safety recalls. Now, that's according to Carfax.
Okay.
This year, federal law requires dealers to perform safety recall repairs free on cars that are up to 15 years old. But problem in Texas is drivers don't follow through on it. It's common for vehicle owners to discard their warnings, and they think that it's because they come in the mail. A lot of people just toss them. They think it's some kind of come-on. They don't bother to open it up. And I can see that, because if it comes, it looks like it's some kind of, your warranty is running out. Yeah. And you never had a warranty, but they've got information that you have a car. So you're like, no, I'm going to toss it out. Unrepaired defects, of course, can lead to deadly accidents and injuries. Some drivers also see a recall and they don't understand the verbiage. They don't understand what's being said.
Okay, so far I have one specific question. If that's the rationale, why only Texas? Why not every state using that rationale?
That's exactly what I thought. Why are they being hard-headed?
Because
they're saying, again, Texas is the only one they're pointing the finger at. They're saying in Texas, people claim that the jargon, the technical jargon, puts them off. They don't understand if it's important, if it's something they should follow through on. They give an example here of recalls like acceleration issues are likely to raise immediate alarms. But if some term, some automobile term is used, they're just like, ah, well, the car's driving fine. I know. You're looking at me like, really? Why would you do that?
I'm thinking of all of these things about, well, that speaks volumes about the educational system in Texas.
Well, yeah. Obviously, the point of the article.
To be in Florida.
Yes. Car lots are required to disclose open defects in seller paperwork, but at the closing of a sale, consumers might not read the stack of papers they're asked to sign carefully enough. We know that's a fact. And we've had experience in dealerships where they don't want to give you the time to read.
And literally, we have been in dealerships and we're ready to sign, checkbook, blah, blah, blah. And that's the point at which I say in a nice way to
the
salesperson, go get coffee. Why? Because we're reading every page. And we read every page. And
well,
if somebody says, if somebody says that's standard, I'm sorry. I want to read every page, and I will read every page. And if you want my money, you will allow me to read every page. If you don't, I'm gone. Okay.
I go and get coffee with the salesperson because I count on you to do that. And you do. And you have brought up questions, too, as a result of things that you've read. You said, can you elaborate on this? Because I'm not sure I agree with this.
And there have been a couple times when we were able to cross something out, everybody initials it, and it becomes different than their standard form.
So here's an example they give of jargon that might throw people off. You may experience a thermal event. Well, that sounds real scary to me. I think I would be at the dealership the next day if I was told I may have a thermal event. I don't know why that would cause you to ignore it. Again, in all fairness, I wanted to find out if this was a problem from coast to coast. And Texas is the only one that Carfax is pointing a finger to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So there you have it.
And you would think that that they would realize if you don't have this stuff done, it's going to affect the resale value of your car when you decide to get rid of it.
That's true, too. And I think there's also...
Not to mention the safety of your car when your kids are driving it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm wondering when it comes to buying a used car or a car in general, if people just assume that they're regulated. So, hey.
Never assume.
It's not my area of expertise. And okay. That's enough bashing of Texas, but they deserve it in this case.
Yeah.
You got millions of cars with people riding around and they're ignoring the recalls. That's just stupid. Ah. Lister wants to know, has Tommy Emmanuel ever recorded a version of Mrs. Robinson?
That's a good question.
If he has,
I know he could play it,
yeah,
but
if he has,
I don't know if he has.
Peter says, I bet it's great. And you're right. We'll have to look that up. We were mentioning Tommy because today... Actually,
I think it was Saturday. His 70th birthday, and we were going to try to talk with him, but he's in Australia right now, and the time difference didn't work for us. But if you want to go to the Steve and Johnny YouTube page, and you will find some wonderful videos of Tommy Emmanuel. One of them is, I forget how many thousands of views it's had. It's the one where he does the Beatles medley, and it's just... crazy good.
Yes. And we will have more videos posting this coming week, because last week we had the Empty Pockets in studio, and Julia?
Hello?
Hey, it's that time of the show when the wheels just kind of fall off, Julia.
Thanks, Johnny-O.
I used to be called Johnny-O, so that's okay.
Dang it.
And because she's Johnny, there are times when I've been called Frankie, so...
And how often do I get called Stevie? People call me Stevie because they think you're the Johnny, and I just say we look the same on the radio.
My favorite is when people look at a picture when I show you two, and they say, is Johnny the guy?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then Steve's the girl. Yeah.
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 Well, Stevie Nicks, that's where they're getting it.
Yeah.
All right, we're coming up on the final stretch of the show. Stay with us here on WGN.
Speaking of favorite guitars, what would you like to play?
Oh, well, I was playing some Beatles stuff before. Yes. Okay. Little of, I feel fine.
I love it. Yes,
John Lennon.
Yes, one of my favorite Beatles tunes, and you know, it's that medley that you do. And invariably, whenever we play the medley, people go, "No, that's not just one guy and one guitar."
Oh, yeah. See. Thank you. then you've got them.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And that is Tommy Emmanuel. Tommy, 70 years old on Saturday. And that was from his last in-studio visit with us. And if you would like to see that and some of the other Tommy Emmanuel videos that we have on our YouTube page, just go to youtube.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And we've got a ton of videos from Tommy and from a lot of our guests. That particular video, Julian, did you say so far, what, 143,000 people have looked at that one?
Oh, yeah. And the number keeps on climbing.
Yeah. And that was a fun night.
And just listening to it, I can feel my heart rate change.
Oh, sure.
Watching him, oh, my gosh. It is a... It's an experience.
Yeah, it's an aerobic experience.
It is. Yeah. And he's coming to Chicago...
When's he going to be back here?
In the fall, in October.
Where?
I think he's up in Evanston at,
Is it one of the Northwestern University venues?
Yes, it's where Judy Collins is.
Sure. And I don't know if we're going to be here. Well, we'll have to check the date because we may be in Florida on the date he's going to be here.
Yeah, I think you're right. Wait a minute. Because I saw Judy Collins and I said, oh, that's interesting that they're bringing folks to this venue.
Something Hall. It's a Northwestern. People are yelling at their radios right
now.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up.
Probably texting us, too.
So, let's see. Judy Collins, it says, I had that... Oh, the Kahn Auditorium.
Yeah.
Yes.
Northwestern University's Kahn Auditorium.
C-A-H and Kahn Auditorium. Yeah. And in fact, while I'm there, I could mention to you that she's June 6th, so it's next week. She's at Kahn Auditorium at 8 o'clock.
And what is the date for Tommy in October?
And Julian will probably beat me to this. No. Because he's all over... He just popped up on my screen. He is all over Australia now, and it looks like October 15th. Tommy will be at Kahn Auditorium, October 15th, 7:30. Ticket price is a steal, $65.
Oh, good heavens,
Yeah. Yes. October 17th, he will be at the Clyde Theater in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And on the 18th, he will be in Carmel, Indiana, at the Center for the Performing Arts. So he's got like this mini Midwest tour going on. Ooh, then he goes to Royal Oak, Michigan, the Royal Oak Music Theater on the 19th. And we've heard great things about the venue there.
Yeah.
But let me back you up a little bit and say if you're in Kentucky, he's going to be at the Kentucky Theater in Lexington on the 14th of October.
Is he doing his, he does a guitar.
Class symposium.
Yeah. He does that a lot.
It's going to be in summer.
Around E-Town.
In Nashville, though. That's going to be in Nashville.
Oh, but that reminds me, too. I forget the days, but and sadly, just checking the October dates, yeah, we're going to be in Florida all the time that Tommy is here. But... In, I believe it's early July, Tommy and Doyle Dykes and a whole bunch of people down in Nashville at the Chet Atkins Days. If you've never been to it, It's a, I want to say about a 3-day event that takes place in Nashville, and it's at one of the, it's at the Marriott Hotel. It's just outside of
Did we stay
downtown
at that
Nashville.
Hotel?
We did.
Yeah.
And you will find jam sessions going on about 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be surprised if you walk in the hotel and you see Tommy and Doyle in the lobby just sitting there and jamming. It's a one. It's a tribute to Chet Atkins, a lot of fingerstyle guitar playing, but a lot of brilliant guitar players and a chance to be up close and personal with them. It's a wonderful event.
And that's July 9th through the 12th. And if you're planning on going, it's the Sheraton Music City Hotel mm-hmm. and Convention Center in Nashville. I don't know how we ended up getting a room there, because I was shocked that we were able to get a room, because the place books up like at the end of yeah. this year. People will book for the next year, because it's not like going to a concert. It's just totally, it's different than going to a festival or a fair. It's really amazing.
And you will find some of our favorite people, certainly, as I mentioned, Tommy and Doyle Dykes. Muriel Anderson's probably there. One of my favorite memories from one of the years we were down there, we watched one of the shows, and it was late at night, and you can also buy some things, and we were mm-hmm. looking around as we were walking out. You were talking with somebody, and I happened to walk out before you did. And as I walk out under the front of the hotel, and there, sitting at a table at the front of the hotel, was Tom Bresch, mm-hmm. along with some other guitar players. And it was like 11 p.m., midnight, something like that. Just sitting, kicking back, and somebody hands Tom a guitar, and he starts playing, and he goes on for about 10 minutes doing one of the most wonderful medleys. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to interrupt him or anything. It was just, so I just kind of stayed back. And
it was like he was holding court.
Yeah.
And everybody's just sitting there.
And he was sharing wonderful stories.
Yeah.
And that was a fun night, the night that Muriel was nice enough to bring Tom Bresch in the studio with us.
Well, if you're interested in checking out this big shindig of the Chet Atkins Appreciation Society get-together in Nashville in July, just go to ChetSociety.com and you get all the details. And they do recommend that you try to get a room at the Sheraton so that you can have experiences yeah. like walking down the hall and one of these people will be sitting there playing their mm-hmm. guitar and you can stop and have a one-on-one with them.
It is so much fun.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah.
Blue light. And what am I hearing a Zamboni in the background?
I don't know.
Yep. There it is. Yeah. I thought so. Yeah. That's Big Plug Bob riding the Zamboni.
Driving the Zamboni.
And that means it is time for our last call. So
yes.
If you would like to be our last caller and win some goodies from this year's Radio Place, 312-981-7200. That number again is
312-981-7200.
And you can win some goodies as long as you haven't won anything from this here Radio Place within the past 2 months or 6 weeks, mm-hmm. whichever comes first.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have anything pithy to say.
Well. I'm going to say
Want a pithy comment tonight?
You better bring your A game.
All right.
Because Miss Barbara was our last caller last week.
She was wonderful.
And she set the bar really high.
We had, in fact, Miss Barbara, if you're listening, we had people writing to us and telling us in person how cool it was to talk to Barbara. And everybody was as surprised we were that Barbara was 95.
We were at Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And family and friends said, oh, my gosh, who's this Barbara that you were talking? We don't know Barbara. She was just our last caller. Had listened to us for years. And she was just such a nice surprise because she had just found us again last weekend. And how great that she was able to sneak in here as our last caller. So, again, I say she's raised the bar.
Yeah.
So you got to have something to say. Okay.
You have to be able to make a fist and put a couple words together.
Yes. And then you will be the cherry on top of tonight's show, which has been a fun show, which is zipped right by. But, of course, we're doing our usual thing. We're at a point, where are we going to have for dinner when we get home? What's it going to be? I don't know. We got potato soup.
I got potato soup.
It was good potato soup.
I think the options were potato soup and a hamburger and it was some other kind of soup.
Yes. Ooh, let me quickly mention before we take a break.
A couple of leftover pieces of bacon from yeah, earlier today.
Because we only eat breakfast on Saturday. That's why we look forward to having a bite to eat when we get home. Speaking of food, yesterday was the last Saturday in May. May was Celiac Awareness Month. And I said every Saturday through May, I was going to be doing a special segment on gluten-free eating, cooking, baking, dining. I will be posting a final post on that subject. And it's going to be products that are gluten-free, that are wonderful, that don't cost a fortune, that you might not be aware of.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be, for example, putting together a little basket, a food basket for folks, and you want to, you're not a baker, you're not a cook, here are a couple things that you might think about buying for someone who's recently diagnosed, for example.
And in some cases, they're from major brand manufacturers that you might not think make gluten-free products, but they do.
Yes, and readily available in many grocery stores, thank goodness. But then you always have Amazon to turn to as well. So I will have some, maybe a half dozen products that we fall back on all the time. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's newly diagnosed, I like to put together a little food basket to say, look, it's not so bad here. You can have crackers and cookies and bread and cereal and all these good things, and they're safe for you. So that'll be coming up next week as well. But last call coming up after this.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend.
All right, people. It's time to go home. Yep. Closing time. What do you do? Head on out. So let's go.
Let's go.
You don't have to go home.
Yep, you do. Get up,
but
get up.
You can't stay here.
No, you cannot stay here.
Go home.
And you can't hear the rest of the song either.
Nope. But that is, if you are new to us, that is Red Peters. And the song is the closing song. And no, we're not going to play all of it. We love it, but we ain't going to play all of it. And if you go to YouTube and look it up, and in fact you should, and then Red's going to wonder, why is it every Sunday morning I get all of these people looking at my song? And that's exactly how he sounds.
Yeah.
We should remind you, because we're rapidly running out of time, we should remind you next week, full show, but it's going to be a best of, assuming there is any such thing.
Oh, stop.
In the archives.
Please.
And we believe that part of it will include an interview with...
Bobby Rush.
Yes, because he's going to be at the Blues Fest.
Right.
So we will be out of town in California hanging out with our grandson Joseph and his posse of Christine and Patrick. And we will be back live 2 weeks from tonight. That will be on the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
We will be live on the, but we won't be here live.
Oh, you're confusing me. Stop it.
I just erased
my rewards money from Kohl's. You got me all excited, and I just hit erase. Now I have to go home and before we eat.
Is that what happens when I get you excited?
Yes! After 41 years, that's what happens. We better go to our last caller. I'm choosing her.
Okay.
I'm going for female. And I see that we've got a Carol on the line. And Carol is in Hanover Park. Hey, Carol.
Hi, Carol. Help us.
How are you guys? I love you guys.
Thank you.
Somebody would know to wake up in the middle of the night when you had your overnight show, so I could listen to the whole program.
Oh, that's sweet.
I remember one time when I think the 3 a.m. Rejoined song did not play, and your engineer or whatever, he sang it perfectly.
That's right.
You were just you and I were both like, oh my God, this yes. is so good.
Yeah, yes. because our three in the morning song was always Delbert McClinton.
Yeah.
And it's a live, he starts out, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. We're going to have to play that again one of these nights.
And confuse people.
And, right. and the song is actually Going Back to Indiana.
Ah.
Or no, Going Back to Louisiana.
Indiana, Louisiana.
Yeah. One of those Anna songs.
So yeah. why are you up on a Saturday night, Sunday morning at this hour, Carol?
Because you guys are on.
Girl, that's the right answer. You're so smart.
You know how to schmooze.
I listen to you.
Thank you.
You guys are just, you're informative, you're fun, you're interesting. I just love you guys.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Now,
and right back at you.
What's on your agenda for Sunday, for June 1st?
Nothing.
Good, good.
But did you realize it's the 1st of June already?
Oh, it is. Right, yeah, it is. Technically, yes, it is. No, I have no plans anymore because I retired in September.
Oh, good.
What did you retire from?
I was working at a in the accounting department for a substance abuse addiction office.
Mm-hmm.
And after 22 years, I had enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you saw a lot of changes in 22 years, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
I wasn't one of the counselors, but, you know, I fought for the patients with the insurance company. It's like,
oh, gosh.
I know what my contract rate is, and you're going to pay me half of that? I don't think so. I mean, that was my whole life. You know, and...
Boy, I bet you could write a book.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to, but, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
But things changed. We got bought out by... A different company, and they don't understand what we do because their whole focus is hospitals.
Okay.
They own the hospitals across the United States. And and they got rid of all our good people.
Oh.
People left, whatever. Yeah. I mean, it just really changed.
Yeah.
So the last few years is really rough.
Yeah, and you saw it when you worked there when it was good. So you had something to compare to. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Wow.
And then the insurance companies changed, too. You know,
sure.
And they're not receptive. And, yeah.
Yeah. So, well, on a happier note, can I tell you that today, June 1st, is Olive Day. So put one of those in your drink later today. It's also National Hazelnut Day. So I'm thinking, I
love hazelnut.
I do, too. I don't like Nutella, but I love the hazelnut creamer in my coffee.
Nutella.
Do you?
I love it.
All right. Nutella.
My girlfriend puts it in my Christmas stocking every year,
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's
great. Well, now we know what to get you for Christmas.
That's right. But we are going to send you an official WGN radio t-shirt, and we're going to send you a copy of the 25th anniversary of the Steve and Johnny Life After Dark CD. And thank you so much for stopping by and for listening, Carol. Pleasure to meet you.
Hold on for a second, and Julian will get some information from you off the air. We are rapidly running out. You know, sometime we have to slowly run out of time. Slowly walk out of time.
No. Yeah, there's a burger waiting for us.
Oh, okay, we're rapidly running out of time.
Okay. Our thanks to everyone. Julia on the other side of the glass.
Julia and Roberta and...
yes, and Ryan and Big Plug Bob. And thank you all for tuning in. And we will be back here live and in person in 2 weeks.